जय विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिप्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर सदश्री श्रीमान अभय शरणारविंद भक्तिनिदान गोस्वामी महर्षि प्रभुपाद की जय मिथिलीला प्रविष्ट विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिप्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर सदश्री श्रीमान भक्त सिद्धांत सरस्वती महर्षि प्रभुपाद की अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की नामाचार्य श्री हरिदास ठाकुर की प्रेम सहो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधार श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंदगी श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप गोपीनाथ श्याम कुंड राधा कुंडगिरी गोवर्धन की वृंदावन धाम की मायपुर धाम की मधुरपुरी धाम की जगन्नाथपुरी धाम की द्वारकापुरी धाम की गंगा माई की यमुना माई की तुलसी देवी की भक्ति देवी की सामवेद भक्त वृंद की और प्रेमानंदी और ग्लोरियस टू असेंबल डिवोटीज और ग्लोरियस टू असेंबल डिवोटीज और ग्लोरियस टू असेंबल डिवोटीज और ग्लोरियस और ग्लोरियस टू श्री श्री गुरु एंड श्री गौरंग और ग्लोरियस टू श्री प्रभुपाद नमः विष्णुपदाय कृष्ण प्रस्ताय भूदले श्रीमदे भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवी गौरवाणी प्रचारिणी निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देश तारिणी ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय संसार सागरे मग्नम दीनं मां करुणानिधे कर्मग्राह हृदयांगं मां उद्धर भवानवाल श्रीमल भागवदाख्योऽयम् प्रत्यक्ष कृष्णमेव हि स्वीकृतोऽसि मया नाथ मुक्त्यर्थं भवसागरे मनोरथे मदीयोऽयं सफल सर्वदा त्वया निर्विघ्नेनैव कर्तव्यं दासोऽहं तव केशव भवे भवे यदा भक्ति पादयोस्तव जायते तथा कुरुष्व देवेश नाथस्त्वं नो यत प्रभो नाम संकीर्तनम यस्य सर्वपाप प्रणाशनम प्रणामो दुःख शमन तं नमो हरिं परम जन्माद्यस्य यदन्यादिदरदश्चार्तेष्वभिज्ञस्वराट् तेने ब्रह्महृदाय आदिगवये मुह्यन्दियल् सूरया तेजो वारिमृतं यथा विनियोयो यत्र त्रिसर्गो मृषा धाम्ना स्वेन सदा निरस्तभुभगं सत्यं परं धीमहि धर्म प्रोचित गैरगोत्रपरमो निर्मल्सराणां सदां वेद्यं वास्तवमत्र वस्तु शिवदं तापत्रयोन्मूलनम् श्रीमद्भागवते महामुनिकृते किंवावरैरीश्वर सद्यो हृद्यवरुद्यदेत्रकृतिभिः शुश्रूषुभिः तल्क्षणात् निगमकल्पतरोर्गलितं फलं शुभमुखादमृतद्रवसंयुतं विपदा भागवतं रसमालयं मुहुरहो रसिका भुवि भावुकाः सच्चिदानन्दरूपाय विश्वोत्पत्यादिहेतवे तावत्त्रयविनाशाय श्रीकृष्णाय वयं नुमः यं प्रव्रजन्तमनुपेतमभेदकृत्यं द्वैवायुनो विरहकादरमाजुभाव पुत्रेदिदन्मयदयत्तरवोऽभिनेतुं सर्वभूतहृदयं मुनिमानदोऽस्मि यस्वानुभावमखिलश्रुतिसारमेकम् अध्यात्मदीपमतितीर्षदां तमोऽन्धम् संसारिणां कर्मयाः पुराणगुह्यं तं व्याससूनुमुपयामि गुरुं मुनीनां नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये कमनीयकिशोरमुग्धमूर्ते कलवेणुकुणिदातृदाननेन्दोः मम वाचि विजृम्भदां मुरारे मधुरीं न कलिकापि काविकापि नमो विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रसाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी निधि नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवी गौरवाणी प्रचारिणी निर्विशेषा शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देशधारिणी श्रीमल गुरु चरणारविंदाभ्यां नमः वंदे नंद व्रज स्त्रीणां पादरेणुमभीष्टश यासां हरिगदोद्गीतं पुनादि भुवनत्रयं गोविंद चरणारविंद परमानवे नमः पीतांबरं करविराजित शंखचक्रं कौमोदरी सरसिजं करुणा समुद्रं राधा सहाय मति सुंदर मंदहासं वदालेशमनिशं कृतिभावयामि कोमलं कुजयन्वेणं श्यामलोयं कुमारया वेदवेद्यपरं ब्रह्म व्रासदां पुरतो मम மூகம் கரோதி வாசாலம் பங்கம் லங்கயதி கிரிம் ஜல்கிருபாதமஹம் வந்தே பரமானந்த மாதவம் ஸ்ரீகிருஷ்ணாய நம ஸ்ரீமதி ராதிகாயை நம சர்வத்ர கோவிந்த நாம சங்கீர்த்தனம் கோவிந்த கோவிந்த ஓம் பார்த்தாய பிரதிபோதிதாம் பகவதாம் நாராயணேன ஸ்வயம் வியாசேன கிரதிதாம் புராணமீனாம் மத்தியே மகாபாரதம் அத்வைதாமிரதவர்ஷணீ பகவதி அஷ்டாதசாத்யாயினி அம்பத்வாமனுசந்ததாமி பகவத்கீதே பவத்வேஷினி நமோஸ்து தேவ்யாஸ விஷாலபுத்தே ஹுல்லாரவிந்தாயத பத்ரநேத்ர யேன த்வயா பாரததைலபூர்ண பிரஜ்வாலிதோ ஞானமய பிரதீபா பிரபன்னபாரிஜாதாய தோத்ரவேத்ரயவாணே ஞானமுத்ராய கிருஷ்ணாய கீதாமிரததுஹே நமா சர்வோபனிஷதோகாவோபாலனந்தனோபல்சுதீர்போக்தீதாமதம் கம்சச்சானூரமர்தனம் தேவகீ பரமானந்தம் கிருஷ்ணம் வந்தே ஜகத்குரும் பீஷ்மத்ரோணதடாஜேத்ரதஜலா காந்தாரநீலோல்பலா சல்யக்ராஹவதி கிருபணவஹனி கர்ணேனவேலாகுல அஸ்வத்தாமாவிகர்ணகோரமகரா துரியோதனாவர்த்தினி சோத்தீர்ணு பாண்டவீரணநதி கைவர்த்தகேஷவ பாராசரிவஜ சரோஜமலம் கீதார்த்தகந்தோல்கடம் நானாக்கியானகேசரம் ஹரிகதா சம்போதனாபோதிதம் லோகை சஜ்ஜனஷல்பதைரஹரஹ பேபீயமானம் முதா பூயாத் பாரத பங்கஜ கலிமல பிரத்வம்சின ஸ்ரேயசி மூகம் கரோதி வாசாலம் பங்கும் லங்கைதேகிரிம் எல்கிருபாலமஹம் வந்தே பரமானந்த மாதவம் எம் பிரம்மா வருணேந்திர ருத்ரமருத ஸ்வன்வந்தி திவே சவை வேதை சாங்கபதை கிரமோபனிஷதேர் காயந்தியம் சாமகாஹ தியானாவஸ்திதத்கதேன மனசா பஷ்யந்தியம் யோகினோ யஸ்ய அந்தம் ந விதுசுரா சுரகணை தேவாய தஸ்மை நம சர்வத்ர கோவிந்த நாம சங்கீர்த்தனம் கோவிந்த கோவிந்த யோந்த பிரவிஷ்ய மம வாஜம் மாம் பிரசுப்தம் சஞ்சீவயத்யகில சக்திதர ஸ்வதாம்னாம் அன்யாம் சகசிரணம் சுகாதீன் பிராணான் நமோ பகவதே புருஷாய துபியம் பூதேர் மகத்ரயமா புரோ விபோ நிர்மாய சைதேயதமூஷு பூருஷ புங்கே குணான் ஷோடச ஷோடசாத்மகம் சோலம் கிருஷிஷ்ட பகவான் பஜாம்சி மே பிரஹ்லாத நாரத பராசர புண்டரீக வியாசம்பரீஷ சுக சவனக பீஷ்மதாபியான் ருக்மாங்கதார்ஜுன வசிஷ்ட விபீஷணான்யன் புண்ணியானிமான் பரமபாகவதான் ஸ்மராமி. Akrura is going to Vrindavanam. We stopped there last Sunday. Right. So, on his way, he has been reflecting on himself, what has happened in his own life. Yeah, it's very interesting actually, if you look through what he said, there's a lot of things to understand from how spiritual life goes on in this world. We think we are used to institutions and a structured organization and all that. That's the way people think about spiritual life. But Akrura's time, there was no institutions as such. He's saying there one or two things, if you look there. Mamaida durlabham manye uttama shoga darshanam. Vishayalpano yatha brahma kirtanam shudra janmana, he said. That he says that Shudra is by nature tamogunam in him, a strong tamogunam, right? And therefore he is not allowed to study Vedam. With such a degree of tamogunam in a person, it's no point in studying Vedam. It's a waste of time, basically. And he says that therefore Vedocharanam, chanting the Vedam, he is not allowed. And similarly he says, I am used to sense gratification. I am a vishayi, he says. Vishayalpano. Vishayalpano means I am a vishayi. Vishayi means he is very guilty about his relationship with Kamsa. that he is staying with Kamsa, serving him, just for livelihood, he has accepted that occupation. And that is hurting him very much. So he says, I think that it may not be possible for me to see Krishna. I'm not qualified for that, because who am I and where is Krishna? And this is going through his mind, that feeling of guilty consciousness in him. That's what that first verse is saying. That Vishayatmano Yadha Brahma Kirtanam Shudra Janmana. I am a Shudra by nature, because otherwise why should I be dependent on somebody like a person like Kamsa and accepting his service? So it is hurting him inside. You can see that coming through that verse. Yeah. So, but a person rarely gets an opportunity is given to study Vedam. And that is for a person with lot of deficiencies in him. When we say tamoguna means, along with that, there are the qualities of tamoguna with that person, is it not? So, sometimes, even among the tamogunis, sometimes you may find one person who has got some sattvaguna in them. And very rarely he gets an opportunity, such a person gets an opportunity to study Vedam, right? So he says that similar to that, Krishna darshanam, opportunity to see Krishna, is not something I am qualified for, but somehow it is happening to me now. Why? He is analyzing that. And that's a very good analysis, what he has given in the next verse, if you look at that. Meva mama adhamasyabhi syadeva achuda darshanam kriyamana kala nadya kojit tarati kaschana. Even though I am very fallen and I am adhama, he says. Maivam mama adhamasyabhi. I am adhama. I am from the lowest category. Akrura is saying this, right? But it's going to happen now. I'm going to see Krishna. It will happen. In his own mind, he's preparing himself when he sees Krishna, what is going to happen. That emotion's in him. He says, in the flow of time, which is like a river, it's flowing, the time is flowing. And once in a way, somebody get over to the other side of the river when a flood happens. And the way it happens, he says, that suddenly a tree comes, a fallen tree in the floods. It comes through the tree, in the river. And he gets hold of it, that wooden log. And the log of wood, in its flow, it flows and sometimes it gets into the other side of the river. And he escapes like that. Using that log of wood, he manages to escape the flood and get to the other side of the river, right? So, similarly he says here, that all of us, all jivas in this world, due to prarabdham, right? We are flowing through this time. Time is a river. And our prarabdham is taking us from birth to death. In different bodies we are going like this. We are also like this log of wood floating, going on along in this river of time. And one day death comes and we leave the body and we are gone. But he says here, sometimes these jivas who are going through this flow of time, they escape from material existence. They escape from material existence by chance. They escape, right? So, this can happen, he says. Not all jivas. Among the so many millions and billions of jivas who are going through different, who are flowing through this world in the passage of time, one or two may escape from this. Just like he gets a chance to escape the flood through the log of wood, he got into the other side and escaped. In the same way, by chance, one or two jivas may escape from here, from this cycle of birth and death. Most of the jivas have to go through the prarabdham and then they leave the body, they get another body, they come back again, and in a new body they start identifying that, and then they have to suffer through the prarabdha further in that body, and this way life, continuous repeated cycle of birth and death. That is our normal existence. That's the way all the jivas go through, right? But but sometimes one or two among these jivas will escape. And they may not have done anything particularly. They could be even, they may appear as though they were very wicked people. Dushta jiva they call. Jivas which are very dushtas, I mean very wicked by nature. And even they may escape from this cycle of birth and death by chance. And that very difficult to say why that happens. That is what is called sugrada. Yeah. This sugradam of a jiva, you cannot know it. Any jiva's case, it is like that. The sugradam. Then sugradam is a word for that. Sugradam means you have done something in the past. The time has come now to reap the results of that sugradam, what you did in the past. Now, right now, if you look at that person, he's doing a lot of wicked things. He's going through a very bad patch in life. But, and he has done, he has associated with Kamsa. And Kamsa was a really wicked character who has done highly sinful things. And to associate with Kamsa like that, and to support him with that, that must be very hurting for him to be a part of that, right? So sometimes what Akrada is saying here is, you may find people like that doing a lot of sinful things, and due to sinful activities, here I have fallen very deep down into this material existence. Because right now my situation is like that, he's saying. Right now, I am in that situation. I've fallen down heavily, and even though it may be like that, there is sometimes a chance a jiva may escape from here. And that is seen. Sometimes it happens like that, right? Why it has happened, if you ask a question like that, only Krishna knows that. What is that sugradam he has done in his previous life, sometime, somewhere in previous life, what he has done that even in the middle of his life now, in this world, he gets an opportunity to escape from this world, from the cycle of birth and death. Why does that happen? He's analyzing that, and it's a very good analysis what he has done there. What he's saying here is that, that in this lifetime, I'm like this, the way I am now, right? And if you look at my life, he says, I have done one thing after the another thing, sinful things. Because everything what Kamsa has done, he's also as a part of that, part of the Kamsa's program. So, he knows very well that what was going on is not right, what Kamsa was doing, right? And so he says here, and the only thing I can expect about myself is I will go further down in my life. I should go further down, right? But I think, he says, that something I must have done in previous life. Yeah, he says there something, what I have done, I don't know. I have no idea, he says. But it is like this. The principle, what we have to understand from that is that in anyone in this world, the some sadhana we have performed before, moksha sadhana, in some previous life, its samskaram will be there in us. In this life also, it is there in us, right? But due to prarabdham. Prarabdham is a very difficult thing to know what it is, right? Due to that, a certain samskaram has come in us now due to prarabdham, right? Due to that, unusually powerful materialistic nature comes. Due to prarabdham only, that happens, right? So earlier you have done something, anyone, it is difficult to say who anybody's life in this world, something we have done good in previous life, but that is covered in this life by another prarabdham, which is much more strong. And it has created, made us very materialistic in nature. So due to that materialistic nature, the adhyalma vasana or spiritual vasana what we had is covered within us, right? But the principle is, if we have done something in the past, it has to have its results at some point. Its results must come, right? So, if the time has come for that vasana to materialize now, and Akrura thinks that it has come now in his life, because he himself is not able to understand why did Kamsa call me, of all the people, to go to Krishna. And he has been wanting to see Krishna, because in his heart he is a devotee, and he wants to see Krishna, but the opportunity was not there. It was there, but due to his fear of life, he wanted to stay with Kamsa. This was his unfortunate situation, right? So, he is thinking that I must have done something in my previous life which has now come, and my sinful activities probably is over, and that samskara must come back again, what I have done in some life previously. This is Akrura's analysis of life, and it is true with everybody. So it's very difficult to say with anyone what will happen in life, in spiritual life. Spiritual life is not, we cannot plan it, because it involves so many lifetimes before our present state. Yeah? So, so Akrura has come to this conclusion, right? One person may have done a lot of sadhana in some previous life, but then again he got involved in some materialistic activities, and that vasana also developed. That has become a prarabdham, right? And because we don't know what we have done, that is the difficulty. We just don't know what we have done in previous life, right? But that samskaram, what that sadhana, what we have done in the previous lifetimes, whatever it is, right? And that samskaram is in us. It has not gone, but it has been covered now with the materials culture, materialistic culture, by engaging in materialistic life. Yeah, you got to look at it a little bit more within oneself. You can understand that we have some spiritual culture from previous life that is inside us. But then life continued and we got involved in materialistic way of life, and we developed some materialistic culture also, materialistic way of life. So what's happening now is that spiritual culture is inside, but it is covered with our materialistic culture. And due to that, the spiritual culture is not able to come out. We are living in that materialistic state all the time. So due to this materialistic culture, what happened? He got involved in sinful life and sinful activities and got association with people like Kamsa. And in that process, he has performed a lot of sinful things also in that way, right? So, when that sinful activities, what he has executed with Kamsa, right, that was delaying his progress in spiritual path, basically. He has done probably something good in previous life, but he could not go further because of his association. And due to that materialistic culture, he got the association with a person like Kamsa. And then he started associating with him closely. And that samskaram, that culture, has prevented the spiritual culture what he had in him to develop further. right? So sometimes we don't know these things about ourselves, I'm saying. We don't know anything about ourselves, what's going on in our life. At some point in time, Krishna knows that that spiritual culture must come out now, or its results should come. And when a favorable situation happens, right, it will come out on its own way. So, and he will get that opportunity to come out of it. And Akrura is able to see things like that. Akrura is saying this, yeah, that I had no chance to see Krishna. Even though I wanted to see him, but because of my close connection with Kamsa, I would have been in serious trouble. What does that made Kamsa to call me and tell me to go and to bring Krishna and Balaram? He's saying that. So, what he's saying is that this can happen in life, people's life, right? You cannot talk about a person looking at his present situation of a jiva, of his present situation, and only taking that into account and making a judgment about him. He is wicked or he is saintly about a person. Nobody can say that. That's the point he is driving at. By looking at someone and to make a decision, oh, he's a very saintly person or he's a very wicked person, making a judgment about anyone is a wrong thing to do. Similarly, a very saintly person, right, he can always get caught up in materialistic way of life, and again he can fall into the material way of life. This also can happen in life, and this is a very important principle. We have to look at this very carefully, because we evaluate people based on what they are at this moment when you look at them, right? So, so both these things can happen. That means a person, in a very spiritually cultured person, or spiritually one who has executed spiritual life seriously, can get affected by materialistic way of life, and he can fall down into that situation. And we may start thinking that that person is very degraded. That is, his present situation may be like that. But behind him, there could be some strong spiritual vasanas in him for the previous spiritual activities what he has done. And when the time comes, right, it will come out when his reaction of your sinful activities is over. Similarly, a spiritually advanced person can even fall into materialistic association and get dragged by materialistic culture for a long period of time. So these are things which are very difficult to know before, in advance, about anybody. And Akrura is saying this. Very carefully he is analyzing this, right? And therefore, with this analysis he is saying that I am the lowest, lower than the lowest, he says. Athama among the athama, lower than the lowest. I have come to that stage, right? But due to my, there is some sugradam in my life, in previous life, and therefore this has happened now. That Akamsa has asked me to go to bring Krishna and Balaram here. He could not otherwise understand how such a thing could happen. This is Kamsa's analysis. Important thing to understand, that most of the people, we go by the external things. We go by the external things.
Mevam mamadham athamasyabhi syadeva achyuta darshanam kriyamana kala nadya kujil taradi kaschana.
That's the underlying principle. That our previous lifetimes, our spiritual side of our life, we don't know what it was. And therefore, to make a judgment about anyone, it's very difficult. He may have come from, he may have, and there are many examples in the Puranams for this, to make this statement correct, to authenticate this. Sri Narada Maharshi, best example, one. The best example is Sri Narada Maharshi. Narada Maharshi himself talks about it. That on one stage, he was a Upabarhana, Gandharva. He talks about in the seventh canto, what happened to him. Is it not? But due to association with that, somehow or the other, he didn't even know who his father was. That was the situation where he was at. So, Sri Narada Maharshi with his mother was serving that the rishis in the Chadurmasyam time. And the rishis told him that Namo Namaste Vasudevaya Sangarshanaya Pradyumnaya Aniruddhaya Nama Sangarshanaya Cha Namastubhyam Bhagavade Vasudevaya Dhimahi Pradyumnaya Aniruddhaya Nama Sangarshanaya Cha. They gave that mantram to him to chant. And then mother left. Mother died after bitten by the snake. And then Krishna revealed to him. So, to receive Krishna's mercy, it is very difficult to say how that happens in anyone's life. There are so many stories like this in the Upanishads as well as in the Purana. To make us aware that the spiritual life is not something that you can completely plan things. It doesn't happen by planning. It doesn't work out like that. There is a higher Krishna. When Krishna's mercy comes, and that mercy, very difficult to explain that mercy, how that comes. So that's what he is saying. Mama adya mangalam nashtam bhalavam shevame bhava yannamasye bhagavado yogidhye angri pangajam. I get the feeling, Akura says, that my inauspicious time is over. It looks like that, he says. Because I have been asked to go and see, bring Krishna and Balaram here. And who is Krishna? Great, great devotees, yogis, they are meditating on his lotus feet all the time. Yeah? Yogi de angri pangajam. And yogis are trying to meditate Krishna's lotus feet, and they are not able to hold that feet in their heart. And I am getting an opportunity now to go and see him and directly fall at his feet. Why? He is asking this question. Why is that? I have been chosen to go and see him like this. And if that happens, if I get this opportunity to see Krishna and offer obeisances to him, then I think my all inauspicious things in my life is over. And what else do I have to get in this life, right? So even if I may have done a lot of sinful things with Kamsa together, it looks that that's all been wiped out now. It looks like that, right? And I'm going to go and offer my obeisances to Krishna directly. An opportunity like this to go and see Krishna. What even the yogis cannot do. And yogis are trying to meditate on that lotus feet of Krishna, and they are finding it difficult to hold that lotus feet in their heart. And here I am given an opportunity to directly see him and offer my obeisances to him. So, Akrura was thinking, Akrura's mind, he is thinking all these things, right? And he says here, I will tell Krishna when I see him, right, that I have done a lot of sinful things in my life, right, unlimited things because of this association with Kamsa, right, and I am very wicked by nature, I am a very wicked person, right. But I still think that the sinful reactions have come off now, finished now, right?
Otherwise, this could not have happened. He says like that. This could not have happened. And I won't get this opportunity. And because I have been given this opportunity, even though I am very sinful, right, I take it that the sinful reactions are all over, right? And yogis try very hard to meditate on Krishna's lotus feet. Here I am given an opportunity to see it directly and offer my obeisances to him. And what yogis don't get it, I've been given the opportunity. In this way comes Akrura's analysis of his own life in this world. And they are very important verses to think about it. And it does give you some understanding that spiritual life does not work according to our plan. Spiritual life works according to Krishna's plan. Krishna makes everybody to do what he wants them to do. And kamso badadhi agradameti anugraham drakshengri padmam prahido munaharinahare kridavadarasya durateyam tama purve adaran yannahamandala tushaha. In my understanding, Akrura says, Kamsa has never done anything good to anybody. And that Kamsa has done something good to me. One who has never done anything in his life to anyone, he has chosen me and he wants to do something good to me, right? Because it is on Kamsa's request that I am going to see him, right? Personalities like Ambarish and all that, with Krishna's help, they manage to cross over the materialistic way of life, right? And therefore, but here, Kamsa has come as my guru. Now, guru's responsibility is that, to take the disciple close to Krishna, to bring him close to Krishna. That is guru's duty. And Kamsa is doing this to me, taking me to close to Krishna. So he is my guru, he says. And it is not because Kamsa is a good person, he's saying. It's only because my inauspicious time is over. This is Akrura's analysis about it. So similarly, in spiritual life also, when Krishna's mercy comes, a jiva will escape. Not by jiva's effort alone. It is not going to happen. Jiva can do various things, but ultimately Krishna's mercy makes the things happen in that way, right? So he says here, because he has deputed me to go and bring Krishna, I am getting this opportunity, right? And Sachidananda Paramatma, Sachidananda Brahman, I am able to see him with my naked eyes, right? So Kamsa gave me this opportunity, he says. And personalities like Ambarish and others, they have crossed over this material existence by taking shelter of whose lotus feet? Krishna's lotus feet. They took shelter of that and they escaped from this world. And Ambarish and others, they were great devotees also, but they took Krishna's shelter and the same lotus feet, I have been asked to go and see him by Kamsa. So Akrura couldn't believe himself of what has happened in his life. He himself feels that something has happened now. Yeah. So, in this way, Akrura is sitting in the chariot, thinking about what has happened, right? What has happened. And then, he's thinking about Krishna, and he's saying this, Yadarchidam brahma vadibi brahma bhavadibi surai shriyaja devya munibi sasatvadehi Gocharana Yanujare Sharadvane Yad Gobi Ganam Kuchakungumangidam. one whose lotus feet, Purva Suris, that means Ambarish and all other great personalities, by taking shelter of that, they crossed over this material life, escaped from this material existence, right? And I'm getting the opportunity to see those lotus feet today. And Akrura is seeing this within his own mind, right? And what is the nature of those lotus feet? Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, and all the great personalities, they are serving that lotus feet, right? And even the perfection of their service is such that under Krishna's control is their position, Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, and others. And Lakshmi Devi also served the same lotus feet. She massaged that feet, right? And Akrura glorified that lotus feet in that way. And it shows, he says there, Go Charana Yanujare Sharadune, that gopis have taken shelter of those feet. And in that process, the kumkumam from their chest has fallen on Krishna's lotus feet, right? Krishna's capacity to keep everyone under his control, and that capacity that lotus feet has got, Krishna's lotus feet has got. Even Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, and many other great personalities, devas, they are all under the control of those lotus feet, right? And when the great devotees take the shelter of those feet, they know that they are protected by those lotus feet. And he is saying here, Yad Gopi Ganam Kujagungumangidam, right? Akrura is saying here that Drakshaminunam Sukapola Nasigam Smita Avalokaryuna Kanjalochanam Mukham Mukundasya Gudalaka Avradam Pradakshinam Me Pracharandi Vai Mrgaha. The beauty of Krishna and Krishna's lotus eyes, and I will see that beautiful face today. Akrura is saying here, right? And at that moment, Akrura noticed some auspicious things happening in the nature, which was pointing out to Akrura that your visit is going to be very successful, right? And then he said, Apyadya Vishnur Anijatva Miyusho Bharavadaraya Bhuvo Nijayichaya Lavanya Dhamno Bhavidobalambhanam Mahyam Nasyal Phalamanja Sadrasha. In order to relieve the burden, of the earth, absolute truth has come in this form, Krishna's form, and it is perfection of beauty. If I get an opportunity to see that form, my eyes have perfected its existence. In other words, my life in this world has become perfect. Right? In this way, Akrura thought a few things. He spoke about that, right? And then, after that, he said, because according to Akrura's point was that Krishna doesn't create anything. What he does is, creation is done by Maya. But in order for Maya to do that, Krishna has to glance over the material nature, over Maya, right? At the same time, because normally we will say if something happens, there is someone behind it. Karanam karyam, right? But here there is a little difference in the sense Krishna is pure Sachidananda Brahma. And in that Sachidananda Brahma, Maya appears. And Krishna glances over the Maya. When he glanced over Maya, the Chaitanyam reflected in the Maya. That's what we say. Chaitanyam reflected in the Maya. So, and then that Maya, from Maya comes creation then, which is Karya Karanatmagam. Maya is the cause and then creation is the effect, right? So, what has Krishna done here? Krishna has glanced over Maya, right? And Krishna is reflection of the in the Maya. Krishna is Chaitanyam, isn't it? He's pure Chaitanyam. Bodham is consciousness, in other words. So consciousness spread into Maya. Pure consciousness, Bodham, Chaitanyam. That's what Krishna is. Sachidananda Brahma. Satva Chitta Anandam. That's consciousness. Consciousness reflected in the Maya. And the result was that then Maya became active, right? So, what becomes expands as the creation is Maya actually. So, because of that, Krishna does not have any involvement in creation. In the sense, kartrutva, I am the doer, that it is not there in him. He reflected into Maya and Maya did everything. He has not done anything. That is important principle making here. Krishna has not done anything. Krishna is pure Sachidananda Brahma. He reflected in the Maya and Maya has done everything. So, so this expansion of creation, these three things, creation, maintenance and dissolution, three things, that's all happening due to Maya. Due to Maya, right? So, because Krishna has no involvement in the creation, just like when we do some things, we have kartrutvam in that. I am the doer. And the results also there, bhoktrutvam is there. Kartrutvam, bhoktrutvam. Both are there for us. In Krishna's case, bhoktrutvam is not there at all. Kartrutvam is concerned, it's only up to this extent that he has reflected in the Maya. That's all. Nothing more than that. That's the point he's making it here. Right? So, so, karyam karanam, cause and effect, right? And Krishna is only glances over the Maya, and that is what he has done. He glanced over Maya, means he reflected in the Maya, that means bodham, awareness went into Maya, and due to that, Maya got the capacity to create. Maya got the capacity to create. Otherwise, Maya cannot create. If that reflection of bodham didn't happen into Maya, right? And later on, then when Maya expanded in the form of creation, along with that, this bodham, what is reflected in Maya, gone along with it in all the subsequent expansions of the creation. So, that is what is called ikshanam. The word for that is glancing over, what we say in English is ikshanam. Ikshanam means reflection of the Chaitanyam into Maya. So, In this way, through Maya, you can one way say that Kartrutvam is there for Krishna also because he is reflected into Maya. But at the same time, Ahangaram is not there. That Krishna is like we get when we do some things, Kartrutvam is there and Bhoktrutvam is there, Ahangaram will be there. I have done this. Right? So that is what he is pointing out there. Then, so you can see that in another four verses, Akrura is saying there, some clarifying certain things, and he says there that he is acting like he is like us. I am the doer and I am the enjoyer. But then, if it is like that, why is pure Sachidananda Brahman? And that he is clarifying in another four verses. Look at the verse 11th one. Ya ikshidaham rahidopya salsato so tejasabha tamobhidabhrama so maya yalpman rajidaisya dikshaya pranakshadibhi sadneshabhiyate. That's what that verse is talking about, right? He's saying there that he is the cause of everything, cause of all causes. And he is a witness to everything. And there is no ahangaram in him. And due to self-realization, avidya cannot touch him. And he is not affected by what happens in the creation. That is his original position as Sachidananda Brahma. He is not affected by anything like the way we are affected. Right? So, he is saying here, Sotejasa. He uses the word Sotejasa. Right? That, why is that? Sotejasa means because of his state of consciousness is such that due to that there is no avidya in him. In Krishna there is no avidya. And due to that there is no Veda Buddhi in him. Higher, lower, good, bad, right, wrong, all these things doesn't exist. And due to Veda Buddhi, Vishaya Asakti comes. Something we like, something we don't like. Attachment and aversion comes from Veda Buddhi, right? Krishna is free from all these problems. When you have Kartrutva, Bhoktrutva, all these things will come. Ragadvesham will come. When Ragadvesham comes, means attachment, aversion comes from that. And due to that, again it is a part of avidya. Avidya develops in this pattern, ajnanam or avidya, subsequently brings all these problems. Kartrutva, Bhoktrutva comes. From that, Ragadvesham comes. From Ragadvesham comes this is good, this is bad, all this duality comes, Veda Buddhi comes, right? But because Krishna doesn't have that, and he has no identification with what he does, all this is happening because of his state of consciousness. That means Krishna is always know who he is. That from that state of Sachidananda Brahman, he never gets affected like we do. We have become jiva because we lost our spiritual identity. And because of that, we are paying heavy price for that now. Bodily identification comes, Veda Buddhi comes, Ragadvesham comes, and all the other after effect of that. Yeah. Kamam, krodham, all other things. Like Krishna says in the second chapter, isn't it? Krodhal bhavati sammoha, sammoha smriti vibhrama, smriti bramshal buddhinasha, buddhinashal pranashadi, all that. Yeah. Dhyayado vishaya pumsaya, sangasya shubhajayade. All these are the after effects of ragadvesham. That's where it's coming from. So from avidya we fall, due to avidya, we develops kartrutvam, boktrutvam. And kartrutva, boktrutvam, because there is no avidya in Krishna, all these problems what we have got, he doesn't have. Kartrutva, boktrutvam, avidya he doesn't have. Therefore, he doesn't have kartrutva, boktrutvam. Due to kartrutva, boktrutvam, bheda buddhi comes. And due to bheda buddhi, raga dvesham comes. That sequence, the way Krishna spoke in the Bhagavad Gita, same thing, right? And again repeated in the Bhagavatam, same principle. So we have to realize this, that our situation is like this, why we are different from Krishna's state of consciousness. So due to self-realization, in other words, Swarupa Jnanam, he knows who he is all the time. Whereas we have to get there now, we have fallen off from that. And therefore, Ajnanam or Avidya, Veda Buddhi, and from that this Ragadvesham, sense gratification, all these things, Krishna is not touched by any of those things, right? But when Krishna came, reflected in the Maya, everything that has happened in the Maya has all these problems. So that is what he is saying here. Ya ikshidaham ahidopya salsato aham ya asat sado ikshida api aham remhita aham rehida sotejasa apas tamobhida brahma so mayaya tad ikshaya alman rajidai prana akshadibhi sadaneshu abhiyate. So this is the reality, that Krishna is not affected by anything, but with the help of Yoga Maya, what he does is, with all those living entities, particularly in Vrindavanam, he says, in all the trees, plants, creepers, everywhere, and in all the houses of all the gopis, it appears as though Krishna is performing everything as though he has got attachment and he is affected by his activities. And he is performing this pastime, acts as though he is attached to everything, even though his real state is like this. With the help of Yoga Maya, Akrura is saying the same thing, like we saw all pastimes is with the help of Maya. When we say with the help of Maya, we have to understand what that means. Help of Maya means, help of Maya means, Krishna is not affected by anything. Whatever he is doing, he is not affected by anything. But when it comes through Maya, it gives impression to people, Krishna is also like me, affected by, attached to things, attachment and aversion, everything. Krishna also has got that feeling he creates in all of us through the agent called Maya. That's what Maya does. Maya gives impression to us that Krishna is Sachidananda Brahman, pure consciousness. He cannot be like us, even if he wants to be. For that purpose, Maya is required. So with Maya's help, when he performs these pastimes, it gives impression to the jivas that Krishna is also like one among us. And all his activities also we misunderstand in that way, not knowing his true nature. And this is what Krishna is repeatedly saying in the Bhagavad Gita also. Ajovisan ave alma bhudanam ishayovisan prakritim swam adhishtanam sambhavami alma mayaya. That verse you can remember when you read this verse here. The connection between the two. Lot of spiritual truths are very hidden in the Bhagavatam. Till you keep on thinking with Bhagavad Gita together, you will see some understanding of things will come. Otherwise, you won't understand. You will just read that, just think that, oh, there is something else which we don't really understand. But see the principle what behind that. Krishna doesn't, it's difficult to understand Krishna. Krishna is pure Sachidananda because we don't know what Sachidananda means. Sachidananda means pure consciousness. Sachidananda Brahma. Pure state of consciousness. Untouched by anything. Pure state. And therefore, because he is in that state of consciousness all the time, He is not affected by anything at any time. Throughout Krishna's life in this world, if you look at that 125 years, you can see that all the way through, that he is not touched by anything what we are touched with, by Maya. What Maya does to us, Maya cannot do to him. But he uses Maya, whereas Maya uses us. That's a big difference. Maya plays with us, Krishna plays with Maya. That's a big difference. So, Sakrura is saying here, in the first two lines he said, Ya ichidaham rahidopya sal sado, so tejasavata tamobhidabhrama, so maya yaltman rajidai sadikshaya, pranakshadhibi sadresh abhiyade. So, he is the cause of all causes, and he is not involved in anything, and there is no hangaram in him, and due to self-realization, avidya is not anywhere near to him, and therefore he has no attachment, aversion, ragam, desham, nothing in him. Even though it is like that, due to yoga maya, with the help of yoga maya, he gives the impression to everybody here that he is very serious about his pastimes in Vrindavanam, with the gopis, and with all the trees, birds, animals, everything there. And it gives you the impression that he is very attached to everything. That impression he is able to create in everybody. That's what that verse is saying, right? Then, in the next verse, he is saying there that the... So, even though he is Ichida, he says that, Ya Ichida Aham Rahido. So, he is Ichida, right? Ichida means one who is glancing over, right? So, he is not affected by that, right? Due to Ichanam. Ichanam means this glancing. His glancing is not causing any problem for him, right? He doesn't think that I am the creator. Krishna doesn't think I am the creator. Krishna remains unaffected by that. Similarly, in him, that he is a Sachidananda Paramatma or Sachidananda Brahman, that awareness is all the time in full in him. Due to that, avidya cannot get anywhere closer to him, right? And, but all of us, all the creation, all living entities, right? These things have come, appeared, they stay sometime and then they disappear. All these things, which one come through Maya. So everything Maya creates, its nature is like that. It doesn't have permanent existence. It comes, it stays for some time, and it will disappear. And that includes all of us. So, but when we are here, we feel that we all exist, and some reality we feel about our existence, that is due to his presence in us. Sachidananda Brahman's presence within us, due to that we feel that we are real and we do exist, right? But in Krishna's case it is different. He is Sachidananda Paramatma himself, and he doesn't have to have like the way we do. He doesn't have a body like us. He doesn't have a form like us, right? And unlike Maya, his form and his activities are all totally independent. So, again, what we have said before, that we are not any truth. We are not, our existence is not truthful. It's not real. Because we know that this body comes and it keeps changing, and one day it goes. That is this body, isn't it? So this is not a real thing. This body is not a real one, right? But because Krishna is inside, Sachidananda Paramatma is inside, and that alone is the truth. Paramatma alone is the truth, what is inside us, right? And this awareness is there in Krishna all the time, who he is. Whereas we are always conscious of our body. That's our present state, right? So, and similarly, due to, because there is no avidya in him, Veda Buddhi is also not there. And similarly, like we got about this world, when we look at this world, we think that the world is real. We think the world will last forever. And we have that fear in us. He doesn't have that. He knows that this world is not real. He knows that this world is not going to exist like the way it is. So you can imagine how we look at the world and how Krishna is seeing the world. Totally different. That is what Akrura is saying here. So maya yalpan rajidaisa dikshaya prana akshadhibi sadhaneshu abhiyade. That we cannot think otherwise. That's our problem. That to think that this world is temporary is not possible for us. Although we may say theoretically it is temporary, we keep saying. If it is temporary, why do we run after so many things in this world? Why is that? That's because we are not convinced that the world is temporary. It is very difficult also, right? So, like we don't know that we are Sachidananda Brahman, Krishna is totally opposite. Krishna knows that he is Sachidananda Brahman, and for Krishna, the world is not real. For us, the world is real. Sachidananda Brahman is not sure about it. That's our state, right? And we think that we are an individual, and this is our bodily identity, right? And we are situated like that. We are existing in that state, unlike Krishna. So when you are identifying with the body, a jiva, he will obviously think everything in this creation also is true. And which means, once you have accepted this world as real, the world is full of namarupam, isn't it? And once you have seen here, varieties existing, Veda Buddhi will come. This is how Veda Buddhi comes. You remember, when Vidura came back and met Maitreya in Haridwar, Vidura asked this question to Maitreya. Maitreya laughed when he asked that question. What did Maitreya say? That you have to understand Maya first, he said. Maya means avidya. When we say these two words, Maya and avidya, what that means is, in Samashti it is called Maya. In Veshti it is called avidya. That's the way to understand that. In Samashti, Samashti means when you take the whole thing into account, then it is called Maya. But when it comes to individual, it is referred as avidya. Maya and avidya is one and the same thing. They are not two different things. Bhagavatam is nothing but Vedantam, it is. But only thing is, it will take a while to get used to all these terminologies in the Upanishads. How it has come to Bhagavatam. Yeah? Unless you keep on thinking and asking, especially when it is instances like this, when great personalities talk about it. Take for example, when we came to Parikshit's self-realization at the end, when Parikshit was in the 12th canto, in the 5th chapter, Brahmopadesham was given. What was given to him is nothing but Aham Brahmasmi. That Aham Brahmasmi realization came to him. Is not. So, in the same way, if you go back into the 4th canto, and if you look there, Puranjana's story there, what has happened there at the end? The Brahmana comes and says to her that you were two birds together, are we not the same? What does that say? It is nothing but the Mahavakyam in the Chandogya Upanishad called Tattvamasi spoken in that story. So if you read, if you understand the Mahavakyams in the Upanishads, And if you see how cleverly Vedavyasa has put that through Bhagavadam, then you can, okay, that story is there, which is not even, see what happened was, Vedavyasa Maharshi, when he divided the Vedam into four, Rigvedam, Yajurvedam, Samavedam, Atharvana Vedam, that is his creation. He made them like that, in that order, he brought that in. Originally, Vedam is only one, but he broke them into four. Then he taught them into four of his disciples, Payalan, Vaishambayanan, Jaimini and Sumandhu. The four Vedas he taught to four disciples. And through them and through their disciples, the Vedam survived in this world, right? And then Vedam has this another way of dividing them into Samhita, Brahmanam, Aranyakam, Upanishad. Another division of that. Samhita for Brahmacharis, Brahmanam for the householders, Aranyakam for the Vanaprasthas and Upanishads for the Sannyasis. That's another way of looking at the Vedam. So Vedavyasa Maharshi, after dividing the Vedam into this four, he took the Upanishads part of it, which is the knowledge part of the Vedam, and summarized it and brought it in the form of Brahma Sutram and gave it to us. Even after that, he realized that this knowledge is too high for ordinary people to study and to understand. Nobody was reading it. He wrote all that, but nobody was interested in reading that. Then what did he do? He realized that this is not going to work. Vedavyasa Maharshi's effort, if you see, it is unbelievable. One person could do all this, because after all, is Krishna's come in that form, right? So then what did he do? He compiled, he thought that, I will add some stories to everything and make it a little bit more tasty. And in that way he created Puranams. 17 Puranams he wrote in that. This is the sequence in which it has happened. First of all, divided the Vedam into four. Then he looked at the Upanishad side of it. The real cream of the Vedam is Upanishads. Summarized Upanishads, and brought in a form which he thought will benefit people. And that is how Brahma Sutram came, or the commentary on the Upanishads, or the message of the Upanishads combined together, and the cream of that, he brought it out in the form of sutrams. And that is Brahma Sutram, or Vedanta Sutram they call it, isn't it? After all that, he realized that ordinary people cannot access to all these things. This is too high for them. They just don't have... Basically what he means is the ordinary people condition stage. So then he wrote Puranams. 17 Puranams he wrote. Not 18, 17. What he did was, the Upanishad's message, he added on to that all the stories and all incarnations and all the pastimes, everything, all brought it through Katha, Stuti, Upadesham in that way. He wrote all the Puranams in that way. 17 Puranams he wrote. Even after that, nobody was having any success with that. Nobody could understand what Vedavyasa was saying. You can imagine how frustrated he was. And people like us, whatever done, still it will not get into the head, right? So then he decided that maybe I should combine everything together, and he wrote Mahabharata after that. He wrote Mahabharata. And in Mahabharata, he spoke about the importance of dharma strongly, because he realized that what people are lacking is dharma. If there is no dharma, chitta shuddhi won't happen. If chitta shuddhi doesn't come, you won't understand Upanishads. This is the way it is. To understand Upanishads, you need chitta shuddhi. In order for the chitta shuddhi to happen, you have to execute dharma. Dharma means, and nobody knows how to define dharma, which is the most difficult thing. What is dharma? Isn't it? So all these problems were there. So he wrote Mahabharata thinking that at least let people follow dharma, and after following dharma, they will develop the necessary chitta shuddhi after that. And after that chitta shuddhi, they can read Upanishads and Vedanta Sutram and all the other complicated, difficult texts. This was his plan. But what happened was, even after writing Mahabharata, he realized that people are not reading it. They still cannot have any interest in Mahabharata. They didn't have any interest in Upanishads. They didn't have any interest in the Puranam either. And that is what was happening in the beginning, as you see in the poem of Mahabhagavatam, what happened. That when he was confused and in a state of confusion, that Sri Narada Maharshi comes to him and talks to him at that stage. And that is when Bhagavatam was written after that. That story is in the first canto. If you go back in the fifth chapter, with Vyasanarada Sambhadam, if you study, you will see that the way it happened to him, too. And thinking that, because he realized that Kaliyuga is advancing, and he could see that this knowledge in the Vedam, knowledge in the Upanishads, all these things, even though he prepared Puranams for ordinary people, even then they could not relate with that. They were finding it very hard. And then he wrote Mahabharatam, thinking that if with the help of Mahabharatam, if they follow Dharmam, that will lead into Chitta Shuddhi in due course. And when Chitta Shuddhi happens, Chitta Shuddhi means purification of the mind, freedom from ragadvesham, everything, then they will understand the message of Upanishads. This was in his mind. But that also didn't happen. And then he wrote Bhagavatam. So Bhagavatam is the last one in his creation, last of his creation, right? So to understand why we don't understand Upanishads, all other things, is because of ragadvesham inside, bedabuddhi inside, and attachment to sense enjoyment, and apart from that, the avidya inside. So all this is inside us, and as long as they are inside us, it's not possible for us to understand what Upanishads are saying. It will remain like that, and we will be like this as we are. So that is what avidya means. So Maitreya Maharshi told Vidura that as long as this avidya is there, which is called maya. Maya means samashti, avidya means veshti. In a person, it is called avidya. Overall, if you take the whole creation, it is called maya. It is one and the same thing. Maya and avidya is one and the same thing. So, therefore, he says that the because the creation is expansion of maya or avidya. Creation is an expansion of avidya, right? And Krishna knows that. Because Krishna knows what maya is. We don't know what maya is, right? So, because Krishna knows it is all maya, he has no attachment to it. Because maya means it's not real, right? And our situation is that we are not aware who we are, right? We don't know who we are. All we know is this body, is it not? All we know is this body, right? And we don't even know what the Sachidananda Brahman, Sachidananda Paramatma and all. When Shastram is saying like that, we have no bodham of that. We are not conscious of that, right? All we know now is I am a person, I am an individual, and I am fully identifying with the body, and this is our present state of consciousness. Isn't it? It's our present state of consciousness. And we don't even know that this is avidya. That's our problem. We don't even know that we are avidya personified. We don't even know that. This is our difficult state. So this avidya that has caught us, right? Because of that, we find that this world is real. Everything is real here, right? What that means is, if you have accepted that way, it means that Veda Buddhi is strong in us, right? And it is due to that Veda Buddhi we think that this whole world is real, right? And due to that, we have attachment to the different things, right? This problem Krishna doesn't have. Krishna doesn't have that problem. What we have, that problem Krishna doesn't have. We will, when somebody die, we cry. When somebody is born, we laugh, we enjoy. Krishna doesn't cry, Krishna doesn't laugh when he comes here. When Mahabharata war happened, when everybody died, Krishna came out smiling from that. Why? Krishna knows the whole thing is Maya. Whereas everybody else cried. Similarly, when he married 16,100 girls, when he took them off from Narakasura's prison and he married them, everybody thought that Krishna likes to enjoy life. But when he married them and when he left them, either situation, Krishna was not affected. Like the way he married them, the same way he left them also, when he wanted to leave them. When Krishna decided to leave this world, the way he left was, he didn't say and say goodbye to everybody, we'll see you later. He just said left. He just left and gone. That's how he is. Why is that? Because he knows the whole thing is a Maya. This marriage is a Maya, wives are Maya, husband is Maya, all this is for us. We take that very seriously. From Krishna's position, none of them is real. Right? So, because he knows who he is. This is the difference, right? So, this bodham, awareness, Sachidananda Paramatma, right? That is what he is analyzing here. Akrura is analyzing all these things in the few verses. You look at the next verse. Then, if he has not this ahangaram in him, this is called ahangaram, like what we have now, right? If he has no ahangaram, then where is the leela there? And then he says, that is for the sake of others. He is doing all these things so that we can enjoy those pastimes and remember him that way. Yasya akilami vahavi smangale vajo vimishra gunakarma janmabhi pranandi shumbhandi punandi vai jagan vyastad virakta shavashobhana mataha. Whose activities and whose mercy, pastimes, incarnations, and all that things associated with that makes this world alive and it gets purified by whose presence, they are very beneficial to the world, right? And anything what is not connected with that is inauspicious for the world and it's Vyastad virakta shava shobhana mata. Then it is like decorating a dead body. So, everything in the creation is mithya. Mithya bhodham, right? And only what is giving reality to this world is Sachidananda Paramatma. That alone is the truth, right? And Krishna is situated in that state of Sachidananda Brahma, right? And he has no attraction to Maya or anything related to Maya. What's happening in this Maya? He has no attraction for that. Because as far as he is concerned, this is all mithya bhudam. Everything that has come from Maya. It's not real. It's not real, right? And he says here that the because he is fully conscious, Krishna is fully conscious of that, and he fully conscious who he is, that he is pure consciousness, Swarupa Bodham, right? So therefore everything that has come from Maya in the creation, he considered that as mithya. From his position, it is mithya. Right? Mithya means it stays for some time and it will disappear. Right? The only truth is that consciousness, bodham, Sachidananda Brahma, Sachidananda Paramatma, that alone is the truth. right? And he has no attraction for anything in this world like we do. Because he realizes that they are of Maya, ultimately, right? And that's because of the Swarupa Avabhodam. That means he knows who he is, right? So, what does Bheda Buddhi mean? Bheda Buddhi means Maya creates this feeling in us that this is all true. That's called Bheda Buddhi. Maya creates a feeling in all of us that everything is true here, right? And due to that misunderstanding, we get attracted to it and we get attached to it. Abhinivesham and asakti, that's the word for that. Abhinivesham means you get attracted to something in this world and then get attached to it. So abhinivesham and asakti is a product of that Bheda Buddhi. Right. These two things, Krishna doesn't have it. Krishna doesn't have that, right? Because of the very solid state of consciousness that he knows who he is. Right? But in this creation, all the living entities who had come, and in them he has entered. And due to his entry into us, all of us, as Antaryami presence inside, we have got these five senses of knowledge, five senses of action, and our subtle body. And when he is performing these activities in Vrindavanam, he says here that due to the activities when he performs in Vrindavanam, it gives the impression that he is attached to his body, and it gives the impression that he is involved in everything in life, right? But what is the reality, he says here? When he glanced the Maya in the first instance, right? All his relationship with Maya is that he glanced over her. And due to that, his glancing alone allowed Maya to do all these things afterwards. Maya created the world. Maya created all of us, living entities. But because it is a very subtle thing, if you only think about it, and you have to get to that state of awareness, that what Akrura is saying here is that Maya created the whole world. Maya created us also. Like you can see, five material elements, it is a part of Maya. Subtle body, part of Maya. Everything is part of Maya, right? Or gross body and subtle body is part of Maya. But because when Krishna glanced over Maya, the effect in Maya was that in everything what Maya has done, this Krishna's presence will be there in us also. And that is what we are now. That's our present state. But practically speaking, most of us is Maya's creation. It's only that Antaryami part of Krishna, what is present inside us, is giving some reality to us. And that Antaryami part also has come through Maya only. When Krishna glanced over Maya, that glancing alone created this bodham into Maya, and it spread further in every stage of Maya. Maya's expansion after that, when it expanded in the form of creation. Whole thing is Vedantam it is, but it is spoken in a way that through Akrura it is spoken to understand the underlying principle behind that, right? So, and why Krishna doesn't have Bheda Buddhi? That is what the point he is making here, right? Because he is Sachinananda Brahman, Sachinananda Paramatma, he does not have Kartrutva Bhoktrutvam. Not only that, he is fully situated in his state of consciousness, who he is, and therefore he has no bheda buddhi, right? And he is also not confused by maya, unlike us. And everything in this creation, what we think that it is all real and it is all permanent, that misunderstanding what we have, Krishna doesn't have. This is a big thing, isn't it? We have that gross misunderstanding in us. The world is very real for us. No matter, like Ramana Maharshi said, millions of times I have told you that you are Brahman. You could not understand. And you are telling me that I shouldn't tell to the cow or the dog and the peacock, everybody else. If they understand it, then they will escape. But after telling you for so many years, you have not understood it. You are still doubting. So, it is a state of consciousness. To come to that state is very difficult. That's what it is saying. Yeah? So, the only way you can understand that is by studying about Krishna. How to understand Krishna? What is the difference between Krishna and us? Krishna, ordinary people will see the deity, they will see the form, and they'll think about Krishna in one way. And you will say how he loved Radharani and Radharani loved Krishna and all that. So many things we like to stay around that. But the fact of the matter is like this, that Krishna's position is different than us. It's not that just he's the Supreme Personality God. He is the Brahman, Satchidananda Brahman, with a state of consciousness totally different from us. He does not identify with the body, form. He is pure consciousness, he is. And that pure consciousness in all times is not affected by Maya, what Maya does. He knows this is whole thing is Maya. Only realized souls can speak with conviction on that. Like Maitreya Maharshi did to Vidura, isn't it? When Vidura asked that question, Maitreya Maharshi laughed first. He says, if you want to understand this, first you have to understand what Maya is, he said. Yam mayena virudhyade, he says. This Maya can create a feeling in everybody that things are real here. What she has done is all real. And she has succeeded in that. In convincing us that we are real, world is real, and it is permanent. This feeling, how did that come so strongly in us? That's due to Maya. Maya did that. Whereas Krishna is not fooled by that. Why? Because Krishna knows what Maya is. So whatever Maya does, Krishna sees Maya differently than the way we see Maya. Whatever Maya has done, we take it very seriously, this world. Everything what's happening here and all the relationships here. Till the last minute we will try to hold on to that, thinking that it's all so real. From Krishna's position, it is not real.
Same Bhagavato Maya.
Yeah. That's the one, that's the verse, yes. And that's why Maitreya Maharshi laughed. He says, he answered smilingly, he said, ask hearing Vidura's question. And the same thing what Akrura is saying here. So these principles in the Bhagavatam, if it helps us, then we have benefited from Bhagavatam. Otherwise, if you simply read it, some story after story, if you keep on reading it, it won't help very much. So, so what we have got is a misunderstanding about the reality. Yeah? And therefore, even though it is all mayamayam, right? And that is what Krishna told Uddhava also. Vidhi mayamanomayam. Isn't it? It is mayamayam. Yeah. Vidhi mayamanomayam. And to come to elevate ourselves to that level is very difficult. That means you become liberated then. Once you come to that state, you are liberated. So this Maya's grip, and the same thing Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita also, Mama Maya Durateya. This is what makes difference between Krishna and us. Krishna's state is different, our state of consciousness is different. We can do anything we like, but nothing will happen to come out of this, right? So, Krishna knows creation is temporary. It does come at some point in time, and it stays for some time, and then it disappears from his position, right? So, that's why they call it as kshaniga pratibhasam, momentary reality it is, right? And he doesn't have that attachment to that. Because of that, because he is purely in that state of consciousness, he does not have any attachment, and therefore, Vedabuddhi is not there, and unlike us, we are attached to so many things, is it not? Some things we like, some things we don't like, right? And all these problems doesn't come to him. He does not have that problems, right? So this is his situation. This is his situation. So that's what those two verses are very important. Eh? Which one? 11th and 12th. Yeah, lot of things to think through. What Śrīla Brahmarṣi is putting it through Akrura to us to make us aware that. Yeah, and then after that he's saying here that. So you can see when. Because Krishna is situated in that state, right? That is his state of consciousness, right? And he knows this is Maya, and he has no attachment here to anything, to anybody, right? But now he has come in a form, Krishna's form. He has come in a form, and he knows he is present in the creation in all living entities. We are all his reflections. Remember in the earlier chapter, that verse when gopis were in the pradibimba vibhramam, he said. So pradibimba vibhramam. In other words, Krishna danced with his own reflection. He said that. So, so with all these jivas here, we have got what is called upadhi. You see, Krishna doesn't have upadhi, unlike us. Upadhi means gross and subtle body. These are called upadhi, right? So, when you have upadhi, what that means is, upadhi has got its defects. Upadhi dosham, it's called. Upadhi dosham means that we have some inherent problems within us. Avidya first of all begin with. And from avidya comes all the other problems along with that. Mind is created in a particular way. Ahangaram is created in a particular way. Buddhi is working in a different way. Vasanas are working in a different way. Prarabdham is working in another way. All these problems Krishna doesn't have. Do you understand? Krishna doesn't have any of these problems, what we have got. These are all called upadhi dosham. Right? They are called upadhi dosham. That means if you have a mind, if you have an intelligence, if you have an ahangaram, if you have a chittam, and if you have vasanas in the chittam, and if you have prarabdham with that, they will control us all the time in our life in this world. It's not easy to get out of it. They are called upadhi dosham. And depending upon the impurities of these upadhis, right? Suppose your mind is very polluted with the different evil thoughts and wicked thoughts, and your intelligence is also supporting the mind along with that, and you have such evil vasanas inside the chittam, and if your prarabdham is also bad, you will tend to become a very bad person because of upadhi dosham. They are called upadhi dosham. Dosham means the defects in the upadhis, right? So, when all these things doesn't happen to Krishna, Krishna doesn't have any of these upadhis. Sachidananda Brahma has taken a form and came here. That's Krishna. That is Krishna. And he does not work like the way we work. All his activities are totally different, right? So, but Jiva with all these upadhis in Vrindavanam also, in the gopis' homes, when they were seeing Krishna performing different leelas there at that time, they started thinking about him. Krishna is also like us. This is a misunderstanding created by the jivas within themselves, thinking that Krishna is also like us. Krishna is also affected by happiness and distress. Krishna is also enjoying like us. And similarly, Krishna is also attached to everything here. Even though he was not attached to anybody in any circumstances. Right? So for ordinary people, they will start thinking, when they see Krishna's activities here, that Krishna is also like us. Kartratva, bhoktratva, and attachment to life in this world. But in reality, Krishna doesn't have any of those things. That's what Akrura is pointing out here, right? So, but due to the ignorant human beings, think about Krishna that he is attached to everything. He is affected by everything. Due to, it is not Krishna's fault, due to avidya in us. We think like that. So this upadhi, what we are talking about, right? Upadhi dosham. Upadhi dosham is a very difficult thing, and that is what we are battling against. Mind, intelligence, ahangaram, chittam, vasanas, everything, right? So, upadhi dosham, when we try to tell somebody else about their behavior, what we don't realize it is that we can't even change our own upadhis. And to expect, tell somebody else to change their upadhis, it's very difficult. Everybody has got upadhi dosham. Everyone has that. So, with all my upadhi dosham, I'm finding it difficult to change my own upadhis. Because it's so deep inside, to expect somebody else to change their upadhis is not possible. We must be conscious of all these things. But people think that, that's why this preaching also is, sometimes doesn't work very much. It is only its limit preaching can do. You can tell preaching you can do, but ultimately what happens? Why are everybody not, after reading the book, changing themselves? Why do they don't change? Upadhi dosham. Upadhis are so powerful because Maya has created all these upadhis on us. Right? So, these are things which is Maya's creation. Right? And Jiva is very strongly identifying with the gross and subtle body. Means with the upadhis. Right? And in their Andhakaranam, Andaryami is the only one Krishna's presence there, right? And this all, rest everything in us is created by Maya. Whole, most of us is created by Maya. Only Krishna is there inside us as the Andaryami, by whose presence Maya's, whatever Maya has created is functioning in one way, right? So, Maya first appears in Krishna. By glancing over Maya, then this whole creation process begins, right? And in this gross and subtle body, within that, we have identified with that, aham buddhi in that, that ahangaram, right? And due to that, we are thinking we are a person, right? What does this person mean? This person, like for example, namarupam you take, right? In namarupam, all these different types of forms what exist in the creation, right? Now, human body if you take, we are all different from one to another. In what way are we different? Rupam. Rupam only. Male and female one. And then among male also, everybody doesn't look the same. They all look different. And because if they all look different, and it is not easy to run our life in this world, therefore we have given a name to this form. That's what is called, what we are very strongly identifying with, isn't it? We have given a name to a form. Suppose the name is not there. Suppose we never, none of us had any names in this world. Imagine what would have happened. We are all human beings, that's all. But then your life in this world will be very difficult. So only for living in this world, for that purpose, we have given a name to a person. Nothing more than that. Beyond than that, we have nothing to do with that name. And that name was given one day, and then one day when we leave this body, the name is also gone with that. After leaving this world, we won't be known by the same name. Isn't it? Name is over here. Like the name came to us, the name will leave us also. So, you can see, when we have upadhi, these problems all comes. We get a name. And with that name, whole life we are going back and forth, doing all sorts of things, right? So, with the name, what happened? Ahamkaram has become stronger. That we became identified with that, right? So, all jivas are like that. But when this is all happening, this form comes, Krishna's form. And we are thinking, he is also thinking, I am Krishna. He is not thinking like that. Krishna is not thinking, my name is Krishna, I am Vasudeva and Devaki's son, or I am Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda's son. No such thing. He doesn't identify with anybody. His state of consciousness is different than us. He knows he is pure Sachidananda Brahma. That is what he is. That is his identity. Satta Chitta Anandam. He does not have an identification like the way we do. An address, or a phone number, or passport, or any such thing, what we all hold very carefully within us. As so our identity, that problem he doesn't have. But we think he is like us. That is a problem. Right? So, and that is due to avidya in us, influence of maya. So even when he comes as a avataram, incarnation, Sachidananda Brahmam comes, his situation is like that, right? And he never loses his identity like that. His identification is, he is pure Satya Chitta Anandam, Sachidananda Brahmam, right? But we, in our present state, with all the upadhis, we think that Krishna is also like us. That he has got his mind, we say. Or we say Krishna's intelligence, or Krishna's ahankaram, Krishna's chittam. We couldn't say that, because that form is, with the help of maya, Sachidananda Brahman has accepted a form like that and came in front of us to help us to advance in the spiritual life. So all that is spoken in those two verses, in the verses 11th and the 12th. It's all covered in that, but that is the deeper side of these verses here. So, and then it said that sachavatirnam khalasatvadanaye Sattvadanvaye so Sedubala Maravarya Sharmakrita Yashovidanvan Vrajamastam Ishvaro Gayendi Devaya Dashesha Mangalam. Krishna has Varnashama Dharmam has come from him. Chadurvarnim Maya Srishtam, Krishna says. So he has appeared on that basis in the Yadava Kulam and he lives in Gokulam in that state, right? And the Devas, they are glorifying him all the time about him, right? So you can see in that these two verses, right, 11th and 12th, is very important because Akrura is analyzing who is he going to meet. He's not going to just like we go and see somebody. We think about that person. As soon as you say the name of somebody, the form comes straight away in our mind, isn't it? When you say the name of somebody, the form of that person comes to our mind. But here, in Akrura is saying here that because Krishna doesn't have these upadhis like we have, and if it is like that, how this leela has come? Pastimes have happened to him. That's Akrura is asking that question. If someone who... Leela means what? What does leela mean? Leela means... Leela is nothing but a game. It's a game it is. Isn't it? It's just a game. Creation, maintenance, dissolution. This is all considered to be leela. Krishna's leela it is. So, when a game is being played, what happens? There will be malsara buddhi will come. Normally it is like that. That is why, you know, these four things we talk about, dyudam, paanam, striya, sunam. Generally people think dyudam means, like for example, this gambling is dyudam, lottery is dyudam, or anything where you use, where you are involved in such a way that competitive spirit comes, right? Malsara buddhi. So, wherever there is competition, it's all considered to be dyudam. It's not only gambling, or it's not only it's not only share market. They're all dyudam, but they are much more open. But then there are other things, wherever it creates malsara buddhi. Malsara buddhi means this feeling that I have to be better than you. When you create that feeling in anybody, it's dyudam. That means football, cricket, volleyball, everything is dyudam. Actually they are dyudam because it creates malsara buddhi inside us. That is why it's there to be avoided. For that reason, they create malsara buddhi in us. So that is covered in that word dyudam. Dyudam, paanam, striya, sunam. Four things, isn't it? So here, what he is saying here is that when leela is performed, when the leela is performed, right, how is that possible? Leela is also a game. And it creates ragadvesham in people. When you see the leela, it creates ragadvesham inside people. How can that happen? He says here, it is for the benefit of others he has done that. He doesn't have ragadvesham. But for others who are observing that, Krishna's leela benefit is that it helps a person to come out of ragadvesham. Our leela creates ragadvesha more in us. That big difference is pointing out there. So we'll continue after a few minutes.
Chedodarpanam arjanam bhavamaha davagni nirvavanam
ശ്രേയക്കൈതവ ചന്ദ്രികാ വിതരണം വിദ്യാവധൂ ജീവനം ആനന്ദാംബുധിവർദ്ധനം പ്രതിപദ പൂർണാമൃതാസ്വാദനം സർവാത്മാസുവനം പരം വിജയദേ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണ സങ്കീർത്തനം നാമകാരി ബഹുദാ നിജ സർവശക്തി തത്രാർപ്പിതാ നിയമിതാ സ്മരണേന കാല ഏതാദൃശീ തവ കൃപാ ഭഗവൻ മമാവി ദുർദൈവമീദൃശമിഹാജനിനാനുരാഗാഃ തൃണാരവീഷുനീചേന തരോരവീ സഹിഷ്ണുന അമാനിനാമാനദേന കീർത്തനീയ സദാ ഹരി നധനം ന ജനം ന സുന്ദരീം കവിതാം വാ ജഗദീശകാമയേ മമ ജന്മനി ജന്മനീശ്വരീ ഭവദാദ് ഭക്തിരഹൈതുകി ത്വയി ഐ നന്ദതനൂജകിങ്കരം പതിതാമാം വിഷമേ ഭവാം ബുധൌ കൃപയാ തവ പാദപങ്കജസ്ഥിതധൂളീ സദൃശം വിചിന്തയ നയനം ഗലദശുധാരയ വദനം ഗദ്ഗദരുദ്ധയാ ഗിരാ പുളകേർനിജിതം ഗദാവഭൂ തവ നാമഗ്രഹണേ ഭവിഷ്യരി യുഗായിദം നിമേഷേണ ചക്ഷുഷാ പ്രാവിശായിദം ശൂന്യായിദം ജഗത്സർവം ഗോവിന്ദ വരഹേണ മേ ആശ്ലിഷ്യ വാ പാദരതാം ഭിനഷ്ടുമാം അദർശനാം മർമഹദാം കരോതു വാ യഥാതാവാദാദുലംബടോ മൽപ്രാണനാഥാസ്തു നേവനാഹര സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദനാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ യസ്യാഖിലാമീവഹവിസ്സുമംഗളൈർ വാചോ വിമിശ്രാ ഗുണകർമ്മ ജന്മഭി പ്രാണന്തി ശുംഭന്തി പുനന്തി വൈജഗൽ ദ്യാസ്തദ്യുരക്ത വിരക്ത ശവശോഭനാമത So, he's saying, this question, how Leela can happen if he has no hangaram, Krishna has no hangaram, and he is Atma Rama, but for the benefit of the world, Leelas were done, performed, right? So, yasya akhilam eva habhi, he says, akhilam eva habhi, by listening about him, we become free from sinful reactions. The jiva becomes free from that avidya. He becomes free from avidya. And similarly, the Krishna's transcendental qualities, his mercy, also his activities and his appearance, due to them, that pranandi shumbandi punandi vai jagat, it purifies a person. The principle is like this, that every one of us are in Maya, right? If we have to get out of Maya, we need to associate with somebody who is not in Maya. Who is not in Maya. And that's only Krishna is not in Maya. Everybody else says there is Maya's influence is there in us. So if we have to associate with Krishna, the only way it can be done is through Leela. That is why he took a form and came. Actually he is formless. Sachidananda Brahmam is consciousness. Vadandita tattvavidam tattvam yajnanam advayat jnanam he is. And that advayat jnanam is Brahmam, Paramatma, Bhagavan. In these three ways it is addressed. Right? So that Sachidananda Brahmam, to help us to escape from this Maya, has taken a form and had come as Krishna, as Ramachandra. All they are different forms coming from the same truth in order to help the jivas to escape from Maya. So, and pranandi shumbandi punandi vai jagal, that's what it does, right? And it creates purification in the jiva who is in Maya. They get purified by the association with Krishna who is not in Maya. Who is not in Maya. So, Otherwise, everyone in Maya, when somebody is in Maya, his appearance, his activities, and like we glorify people in this world, isn't it? And we give a lot of credit for that person, for their success or achievements in this world. But Bhagavatam here, Akrura is saying, they are not much different than like glorifying a dead body. If a dead body, even if you decorate it with all kinds of jewelry and all, after ultimately it's a dead body. Similarly, those who are in Maya, if you keep glorifying them and thinking that they are wonderful, they are this, they are that, they are not even real. So it is like decorating a dead body. That's what he is saying here. So if you decorate something, it will look attractive. But if it is a dead body, what is the point decorating it, right? So similarly, something that is not out of Maya, separately from Maya, all what we talk about in this world is all related to Maya and Maya's activities. That's what we are glorifying in this world all the time. Politicians, big businessmen and big leaders, we say, or big celebrities, people admire all of them, isn't it? What Akrura is saying is they are all like decorating the dead body. On the other hand, if you glorify about Sachidananda Brahman, who has come with a form to this world to help us, the Krishna's form and our appreciation for Krishna's form is different than appreciating another form in this world. That's what the point is making here. Because it is Sachidananda Brahman has taken a form and came here to help us to escape from Maya, if you make contact with that form, that Sachidananda Brahman in a form, then that form will help you to become free from Maya. Krishna's form. Similarly, Krishna's activities. Everything related to Krishna. This is the principle, what he is talking about here. Right? So, Janmam, Karmam and Leela, all of these things, right? Whereas Gramya Vishayam means what is involved in the Maya, right? Even though they may look very admirable here, but it is like, he says here, Shavashobhanamada, it is like decorating a dead body. Because if you decorate, it doesn't mean much, isn't it? It looks okay, but the body has no life. What's the point? In the same way, when we glorify people in this world, big people we have glorified in this world, where are they now? Where have they gone? And we think that it's all going to be permanent here. People all the time is glorifying somebody else. All that glorification is useless. That's what it's saying here. And if we decorate a dead body, after some time, because it's a dead body, it will start smelling. From the dead body will start smelling. Similarly, isn't it? So, in the same way, what he is saying here is that when you glorify people in this world, or their achievements, or their success, or whatever it is, all that creates in us is madam matsaryam, ahangaram and competition from that, right? So those words actually pollutes everybody. It doesn't purify anyone. Whereas if you glorify Krishna, on the other hand, because Krishna is not part of Maya, is outside Maya, whatever you glorify him, it should not create any malsaryam or madam within us, right? So that is why even the literature, great literature what we have created in the human species, they are all useless as far as Bhagavatam is concerned. And on the other hand, Krishna's incarnations, Krishna's pastimes, and Krishna's mercy towards the devotees, and that is what is called the, what he mentions here is that all literature, everything will give, benefit the world, will benefit the world. They mentioned this in the Gopika Gita also, right? When people are suffering in this world due to material existence, right? And due to that material existence alone, they become tavakathamrtam tapta jivanam kavibiriditam kalmashabaham, that verse, right? They get life from that. Remember, Gopi said this to Krishna, that if we hear about you, it gives us life. It's not a very blank statement like that. What it means is that hearing about Krishna elevates us into spiritual life. Hearing about everything else in this world degrades us more. That is the problem. That is why Gopi said that. Sava kathamrtam tapta jivanam kavibhiriditam kalmashavaham. So therefore he is saying, pranandi shumbandi, he says. Shumbandi means that what that glorifies, Krishna's glories, and it makes us advance spiritually. This is the benefit from that. If you hear about Krishna, you advance spiritually. Whereas if you hear about from Maya, it drags you down in spiritual life. It drags you down, right? Because if you glorify things in Maya, what happens is it creates ragadvesham in us, in everybody. For example, if you glorify one team against another team, obviously there is ragadvesham. You start thinking, this team is my favorite, they say. Or the other team is, we have to crush them. Which means that it increases ragadvesham inside. This is the difficulty with that, right? So, when ragadvesham increases, our asuric vasana increases. Whereas, if you glorify Krishna, what happens? Hear about Krishna. Because Krishna is not inside Maya, he is outside Maya. Therefore, if you keep on talking about Krishna, hear about Krishna, the divine nature increases in us. Devi Sambhat will increase. Asuri Sambhat will leave us. This is the reason behind that. Right? So, gradually, the Asuri Sambhat will leave us and we develop all the divine qualities, Devi Sambhata, right? And when the Devi Sambhata increases in a person, he becomes purified, and with that, he purifies himself, and due to his presence, the world gets purified, right? So again, what Akrura is saying here is that why Krishna's pastimes important? How pastimes helps us to become free from Maya. Whereas anything what you glorify inside Maya only drags you down in spiritual path. Why? Because it creates demonic nature in us. Whereas Krishna's pastimes, appearance, and all his teachings all helps us to develop divine nature in us, and that way able to help us free from Maya. This is the benefit what Akrura is pointing out here, right? Krishna's pastimes and qualities And all the other incarnations, everything, when it is put in a Vangmayam, Vangmayam in a form through literature, right, that gives benefit to this world. And along with that, it develops transcendental qualities in a person by associating with Krishna. Uddhava asked this question to Krishna. When Krishna told about, Krishna said to Uddhava, Uddhava, this way it works is that salsangam, through salsangam you have to purify yourselves, he said. So Krishna said to, Uddhava said to Krishna, what salsangam had gopis had? What brought them to this stage? Krishna says, my association, he said. That's what Krishna said to them. My association has purified them. So, that few years in Vrindavanam, what Krishna did to the gopis, and brought them from the lowest level, because from eyes of this world, gopis coming from a very low background. Forget about, because other things like, of course, they were great personalities in previous life. But in this life, first of all, they were ordinary women. They had no education in the Shastram. They have not done any sadhana. They have not performed any big charities. Or they have not done any kind of association they had with great personalities. None of this gopis had. From that state, they have brought up to the highest state in the Bhagavadam as the great among, greatest among the devotees. How did this happen? Krishna said the answer was salsangam, Krishna said. Uddhava said, what salsangam did they have? Krishna said, my association. So that's what happens with Krishna. Association with Krishna means you elevate spiritually. Association with Maya means you degrade spiritually. This will happen. That is why we have to be so sensitive to everything what's happening inside the Maya. We have to become sensitive ourselves that if it is a part of Maya, it's going to degrade me. That realization has to come. That is what this is spoken, these verses. Right? So, so Gramya Vishayam, Gramya Katha, or related to this world, no matter how glorified it is, at the end, it's not benefiting anybody. Spiritually, it's not benefiting anybody, right? And that is why it is compared to decorating the dead body. You have to understand that comparison. Why it is spoken like that? Shava Shobhana Mata, decorating the dead body. It's not to be read and left it like that. You have to analyze why Akrura said like that. That anything you glorify in this world, you compete in this world, and you appreciate something in this world is like a dead body. You are glorifying a dead body because it is Maya and it is only create Ragadvesham because of that. And due to Ragadvesham means you are spiritually you are going down. Whereas anything related to Krishna, it is not creating Ragadvesham on the other because he is outside Maya. Therefore, that creates divine nature in the person who is listening or speaking, or it leads him to all his appearance. That is what he said. That is the reason that the Leela is beneficial for the Jiva. Leela is beneficial for the Jiva. And it is with that that verse is spoken. Yasya akhilami vahavitsu mangaler vajo vimishra gunakarma janmabhi pranandi shumbandi punandi vai jagat yasad virakta shavashobhanamata. So those two verses are, these are also, this is all Manavaratham in the chariot when Akrura is traveling from Mathura to Vrindavan, right? So you saw those verses from beginning from 4, verse 4 right up to 12. Very important verses, yeah? Even though it is mental chariot, Shuga Brahmarshi is giving us insight into spiritual life through Akrura's thoughts. Shuka Brahmarshi is saying Akrura is thinking like this and he is traveling, but those thoughts are more important because there is a message in that for all of us to understand. when we started with that fourth verse, Mamaita Durlabham Mani Uttama Shloka Darshanam Vishayalpano Yada Brahma Kirtanam Shudra Janmana. From then onwards, we saw how Akrura thought about his own life. He is analyzing his own life. He is analyzing, and he cannot believe himself that why have I been asked to come to Krishna like this, that Kamsa had sent me here to see him. And then he is analyzing it and giving the answer to that, that even though in this life, whatever situation you have been put in, if in your previous life something is there in storage, spiritually, when that will materialize and come in some form, you will never know that. You will never be able to know that, right? So don't judge anyone with what's happening to them at this moment in time in their life. Not to be judged anybody on that basis. What's happening at this moment in their life and thinking that that person is in that state. No. You may have something, but due to his association with Kamsa and others, Akrura realized that I have done a lot of wrong things due to Kamsa's influence, but why is that this has happened to me now, to go to Krishna like this? I could never think that such a thing would happen. But the very person who engaged me in all the wicked activities, he is sending me there to meet Krishna. So that means there is a big thing change happened in my destiny. He has come to that conclusion. That means I must have done something in previous life, and this sinful activities reaction has gone away, and now I have got this opportunity to see Krishna directly, which I wanted, but due to my own bad state, because I was associated with Kamsa, and I stayed with Kamsa, which he knew that it was a wrong thing to do, and in spite of that, I got this opportunity. So he said all that in that verses, right? You can see, that is that fifth and sixth verse. It's all about that. How destiny can change when your Sugradam changes. When Sugradam changes, everything changes. That is why do think good things all the time, Krishna is saying there. Nahi kalyana kartasche durgadim tada gachari, Bhagavad Gita. Why did Krishna say that? Because of this. See, if you do good things all the time, then there is chances of it will mature one day. Everything is recorded. Everybody's life. And it will come in its own way, in its own time. That's what that means. That same verse, what Krishna is saying there. Nahi kalyanagral kaschit durgadim tada gachari. He said, if you do good things, the chances of you going down is very little. Kalyanagral kaschit. So then he analyzed again and he said that his bad times have changed. And that is what he said in that seventh verse. Right? And then thinking about Krishna, he is talking about Krishna's lotus feet. And that's when he spoke about the verse 8th and 9th. And then he started thinking other things. And then he said, in four verses, he spoke about Krishna's position, making us to understand who is Krishna. Rather than simply going thinking about the form and thinking that he is also one like us. Trying to make the difference between Krishna and us. Where are we and where is he? That is what was spoken in that 11th and 12th verses. Then after that, in the 13th verse he said that that the Krishna introduced Sanatana Dharma to this world. Sanatana Dharma through Vedam. Is it not? Through Vedam, Sanatana Dharmam came. And in order to please the Devas, because after all, Brahmaji and others prayed to Krishna to come. That's how Krishna came here. And so he decided to come among the Yadavas as a member of the family. And this Sanatana Dharmam, which has been given to the world through Vedam, so that the world could exist. And he expected that this Sanatana Dharmam should stay. And for the benefit of the Devas, he appeared as Krishna, as the son of Vasudeva and Devaki, right? And Devas glorify Krishna for that appearance, right? And then he performed all the pastimes. They are not only pastimes, they are Anugraha Leela. Why are they called Anugraha Leela? Anugraha Leela means that they were performed for the benefit of the world. Nothing else behind that. Because when those Leela was performed, it gave an opportunity for the Jivas here to sing about them, to glorify them, and to get attached to him, that way able to escape from Maya. So, through Vedam, Krishna established a Sanatana Dharma in this world, and in order to maintain that Sanatana Dharma and protect Sanatana Dharma, and to please the Devas who are part of that Sanatana Dharma, through this Anugraha Leela, blessing Leelas which are performed to bless this world, and that way he got glorified. Krishna got glorified by that. The Devas were pleased by the pastimes of Krishna, and it has, because these pastimes, when someone talks about it, glorifies them, it purifies them, and it purifies the heart of the one who talks about it, right? So that is what that 13th verse is. Sachavadirnam khalu sattadanvaye so sedu bala maravadya sharma krutta yesho vidanvan brajamastam ishwarav gayandi deva yad ashesha mangalam. Then, tam todyanunam mahadam gadim gurum trilokya kandam drishiman mahol savam rubam dadhanam shriyam ipsidaps aspadam drakshe mamasan nushasa sudarshanaha. This form, Krishna has come here, I am going to see that. He is saying that I am formed to see that form. What kind of form is that? It is the beauty personified in all the beauty of this world, right? Which is most dear to Lakshmi Devi. And everyone who wants to escape from Maya, they take shelter of this form, that form of Krishna, right? And I am going to see that form today, Akrura is saying, right? Why? Mama Ushasa Sudarshana Masan. I can see in the nature also, there are so many indications of that, auspicious signs everywhere. And so Akrura is looking at the nature and talking about it, right? So, then he is glorifying that form, saying that out of all the three worlds, this is the most beautiful form of everything. And Sachidananda Paramatma, Parabrahma, has come as Krishna in this form, right? So, and then he mentioned the same thing, the Mahatmas also, they see this Krishna as the ultimate state to get to after self-realization as Krishna, which is Sachidananda Brahma, realization, self-realization, right? And Sri Bhagavati, that is Trailakshmi Devi also, she gets a tremendous pleasure by seeing this form. And she loves this form so much, and that I'm going to see today. So Akrura is imagining in his mind, all these thoughts are coming. The personality whom he is going to see, Krishna, he is not just thinking, I am going to meet somebody like that. That's not how he is going there. He is thinking about Krishna, whom am I going to see? And what is Krishna's position? And what is his position? He is comparing all that. Right? And he said that all the signs this morning is very auspicious for me. Right? And it is a festival for my eyes, what I am going to experience today. And I will see Krishna today. Like this, Akrura spoke like that. Right? Adhavarudham. And everything is looking auspicious for Akrura. Everything. Adhavaruda sabadishayo rathal pradhana pumso charanam solabdhaye dhyadadam yogivir apyaham dhruvam namasya madhyam abhyam jatakim vanavukasaham. Then what's going to happen when he sees Krishna? What he's saying there is that as soon as I see him, I will jump out of the chariot and I will offer my obeisances on the ground to Balaram and Krishna. And Krishna's lotus feet is the one which yogis are meditating upon. And to that lotus feet, I will offer my obeisances. He says, not only that, I will offer obeisances to all his friends, cowherd boys, who are present there. Not only them, all the living entities in Vrindavanam, I'll offer my obeisances. He says like that, right? So, this is Akrura is preparing himself before he sees Krishna. How to meet Krishna? Within himself, he is preparing himself for that. Yeah. So, he said that he'll jump out of the chariot and I will see that lotus feet, which the great yogis, they are meditating on that lotus feet for self-realization through dharana, dhyanam, samadhi and all that. And I will see both Balaram and Krishna together. I'll come down from the chariot, offer my obeisances. Similarly, all the cowherd boys, his friends and all other living entities in Vrindavanam, every one of them, I will offer my respects to them. So, that's what he has spoken there. And then he said that apyangri mule patidasya me vibhu shirasya dhantasya nijahasta pangajam datta abhayam kalabujangaram hasa prodvejidanam sharaneshinam nranam. When I offer my obeisances, he says, that Krishna will put both his hands and put it on my head and bless me. He's saying, what kind of hands are they? He says, those who are under the influence of time. Time is compared to a snake. Time is compared to a snake, right? Kala sarpam. Kala sarpam. Why is it compared to a snake? That once you have fallen into that, under that snake's influence, it's not easy to come out from that. See, we are all under, kalam is compared to a snake. We are being bitten by kalam. That is why we have fallen into this present state, kalam. Kalam is the one which has agitated Maya when creation began, isn't it? From that day started our suffering. Changing this body business, one after the other. Every time you change the body, what that means is you are under the influence of time. You get a certain number of years in one body, and then the time decides that that time is over. That means kalam is controlling our existence, is it not? In a particular body. So your identity changes again. So this changing identity from one body to another is under the influence of time. So that means we are always under the influence of time, and time is considered to be like a snake because of its nature. It only gives us suffering, this time. Every time we change the body, we get different miseries, Ajalpiyam, Adibaudiyam, Adidevigam. And this suffering continues from one body to another, and till we escape from this Maya. And when I fall down, Akrura says, at Krishna's lotus feet, he will put those hands which gives protection to those who are under the influence of this kalam, kala sarpam. That's what he's saying here. Apyangri mule padidasya me vibhu shirasya dhanyan nijahasta pangajam dhatta abhayam kala bujangaram hasa prodvejidanam sharaneshinam nrunam. So, Krishna's hands are capable of helping a jiva. If he puts that hands on someone, he has become free from the impact of kala, from the time. Right? So, power of kala is spoken there. Right? So, and what that means is, kalam, when you are under the influence of kalam or time, you are in material existence. Material existence means you are under the three modes of nature. And this suffering of Adhyalpiyam, Adibaudiyam, Adidevigam will be there. Three modes of material nature means these three are present, right? Once you become free from material existence, means that you have become free from the three modes of nature and you have become free from the influence of time. So, in this way, becoming free from the influence of time and gives that protection and makes us free from the influence of time is possible by Krishna's touch, blessing from with those two hands. Akrura sees Krishna's hands that way. Earlier Krishna spoke about Akrura spoke about Krishna's lotus feet. How protects that? And now about the Krishna's hands, he is saying that Krishna will put those hands on my head. Akrura is thinking that way. And with that I will become free from all sufferings. Right? So due to birth and death, right, this flow that is going on, one body after another, one life after another, right, due to that, we become very disturbed in life. We don't feel any security here, is it not? Because of the death. One day everything is going to go. And then still we are working very hard here. And ultimately you realize it, is it all worth all what we are doing here? Is it not? So, and this is called the samsaram, material existence. Working hard, day after day, not knowing where it's all leading to, but somewhere in behind, in the mind, it's telling us it's all going to come to an end very soon, one day or the other, and the whole big effort becomes a total waste at the end. So, in this way, to live in this world is material existence. To live in this world like this. We know very well at the end everything is a waste of time. One day when you are taken out from this world, the whole thing is a waste. But at the same time you are not able to leave it. And continuing like this day after day after day after day like this is material existence. This is why it's called material existence. So, and in that process, lot of suffering. Happiness, and little bit of happiness, a lot of distress. Suffering, arguments, fighting, killing, everything happens is here. So, then from that situation, the only way to escape from this is to take shelter of someone who controls Maya, who is not in Maya. By taking shelter of another person who is in the Maya is useless. He can't help you. Because he is also going through the same thing. Who said this? Maitreya Maharshi told Vidura. He says, one person is saying to another person that I will look after you, don't worry about it. He says, nobody can look after anybody in this world. The fact is like that. Nobody can help anybody. Every jiva is passing through its own prarabdham in this world and goes through this life day after day after day. And the only person, that is why even abhakshamanam abalavrgadibi sarakshida rakshadi yohi garbhe said who? Yamadharmaraja said to Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu's mother, to Didi Devi, isn't it? What did he say to her? He said, this whole system is working under someone's supervision. When we came to this world, there was nobody offering us any help, wasn't it? When we were put into one mother's womb, when a jiva enters into a mother's womb, who was giving us, we were looking for help. Who was giving us help? Mother didn't know anything. Father also didn't know who is this new entry into our household. New person is coming. He came into the mother's womb. 10 months he stayed in that womb. Protected by whom? Who protected that child in the womb? Mother didn't know him. Mother only knew that baby is inside. One baby is inside. But who was looking after the baby? Who made that arrangement that there is a mother to look after when you are born? And there is a father to provide everything when he is born. For a certain period of time at least. Who had made that arrangement? Without our knowledge, somebody made that arrangement. In the same thing here, that Krishna is actually maintaining everybody, but we are not able to come to accept that. We are still thinking father is providing, mother is providing, society is providing, uncles are providing, aunts are providing, all this kind of misunderstanding in us. That is called avidya. This is called avidya, to think that they are all maintaining me. Nobody is maintaining anybody. Krishna is maintaining everybody. That's the principle, right? So, that's what he's saying here. That this cycle of birth and death and material existence is going on like this. And in the middle of that, they suffer a lot. At that time, they come and take shelter. Krishna shelter. At that time, when they suffer, then they take shelter. And when they take shelter, that Krishna, if Krishna is pleased with them, he gives them protection with his hands, blessing them in that way. And I'm going to get that today, says Akrura, right? And when Krishna gives the shelter, how does he give the shelter? He gives the shelter is like this. Shelter, he doesn't solve your bodily problems. He gives you your spiritual identity back. And that is the solution to the problem. Self-realization. That's the only way Krishna blesses a devotee. He gave it to Pudana, he gave it to all the asuras, and he gave it to all the devotees also, in the same way. So Krishna's shelter means Krishna giving us our spiritual identity back, what we have lost. That is Krishna's shelter. Right? So, and he protects us in that way. Right? And once for all, we became free from material existence along with that. So, and then, what did he say? Samarkhanam yatra nidhaya kaushikam tadabalishchapa jagatrayendradam yadva vihare vrajayoshidam shamam sparshena saugandhya gandhyapanudal. He says, in this process, right, that Indra also became Indra because he has performed some taken Krishna shelter sometime in his life, some life. He has taken shelter, so he became Indra. Similarly, Mahabali also became benefited by taking his shelter, Krishna shelter, right? And so Indra got all the heavenly planets and fulfilled all his desires, right? And for people who wanted to get liberated from this material existence, even that is provided by Krishna's lotus feet, Krishna's hands. He gives protection for that. Yeah. Saugandhya gandhiyat vihare vrajayoshidam shramam avanidat. Saugandhya flower. Similarly, it is very highly powerful smell has got the Saugandhya flowers, right? And Krishna touched the gopis in rasa dance with those hands, and by touching them, it gave so much pleasure to them, to the gopis, right? So, Mahabali gave 3 feet of land to Krishna. Krishna asked, Vamanamurti asked, 3 feet of land. Mahabali gave it to him, right? And in order to give these 3 feet of land, he took Udagam in the hand for the water to be taken first in the hand before making the offering, right? And with that water in the hand, he offered it first and then he offered the 3 feet of land, right? Similarly, Indra also, in another instance, offered water in the hand and then took Krishna shelter in another instance, right? That story is not mentioned here, but Mahabali story is mentioned in the Bhagavatam. When he offered to Vamanamurti, he offered water first because he asked Vindhyavali to bring water and then wash the Krishna's lotus feet. Vamanamurti and Krishna is one and the same. Washed Vamanamurti's feet and offered water and then offered the 3 feet of land. Mahabali offered it. In the same way, Indra has in another instance it's done that. In another Puranam it is spoken, not in the Bhagavata. So through Atma Samarpanam, that's what Mahabali did, Atma Nivedanam, isn't it? And Mahabali got the benefit, he got liberation at the end. He got liberated from material life once for all. Mahabali will stay some time, he has to become Indra, and then he goes back, he doesn't come back again. That means he is on his way back to spiritual world, right? He gets liberated, right? So, what in this verse, what he is saying here is that those who have material desires also, first he will fill their material desires, then he will give them liberation. For those who have got material desires, Krishna will fulfill their material desires first and then they will give him liberation. But those who have only want to be liberated, Krishna offers them liberation direct. Again, that difference between Krama Mukti and Sadhya Mukti. Sadhya Mukti person is ready to get liberated. Mumukshatvam is 100% in him. Krama Mukti is a person who still have material desires. You remember when we started Bhagavatam, those two things were spoken, Shukha Brahmarshi told Parikshit. Krama Mukti and Sadhya Mukti. Right? Yeah. So if you have desires, you won't go back to spirit, you won't get liberated straight away. You will have to go through the heavenly planets and to the other higher planets and through Lord Brahma in that way. Because the desires have not left you. But on the other hand, you have done a lot of spiritual activities. So that means you are not going to go down anymore. You have to go up. If you don't come to either of these two, then you go to Pitralokam and come back here again. Possibly in a human form. And then start the whole LKG, UKG and the whole cycle begins again. They'll send us to school if you get a human body and if you get sent to school, whatever that happens, you know, after that, which is very familiar for us, isn't it? So, this verse is saying that the gopis in that rasa dance, they were attracted to you, attached to Krishna. They wanted Krishna. Krishna fulfilled their desires. And ultimately, they also, through that, gopis got the desire for mumukshatvam. Through association with Krishna. The few years, initially it was all stealing the butter and all other activities, balalila. It was all for getting gopis attracted to him. But in that process what happened? Gradually gopis developed mumukshatvam. It's very difficult. Vairagyam came to them. And only when vairagyam comes, mumukshatvam comes after that. You see? So, this was a gradual process. Over years, it took, before Krishna left Vrindavanam and went to Mathura, the gopis were elevated in the spiritual life to a very higher level by the time he left. Initially, it started as a normal relationship between the gopis. From the day, it started with the day Krishna appeared. Gopis came to see him. From that day onwards, this relationship started between Krishna and the gopis. And Krishna, the first 8 to 10 years he spent in Vrindavanam, in that 10 years association, Krishna brought the gopis from that state when he met them the first day, at the normal level they were at. From that, they brought them to the highest state of bhakti. By the time he left Vrindavan, everything happened through association, through Krishna. That's what Krishna is saying to us, right? So, that hands of Krishna is capable of doing that to anyone. And then we saw after the rasa dance what they said, then those 3 states what Krishna gopis have reached, that they did not want anything from this world, no appreciation from this world, no attraction here for them. All attraction for the world has left them. Na janam, na tanam, na sundarim, kavidamva, jagadishakamayi, mama janmani, janmani shuri bhavadad, bhaktira haidalitvai. To come to that state, to speak like that, you require vairagyam inside, and that has come to them. Secondly, they felt the dharmam, what we all feel in this world, we have got responsibility, this, that and all, then dharmam also has left them. Sarva dharmam paritya stage has come to them. And finally, they realize that the only truth here is Krishna, nothing else. And therefore, depending on Krishna is the most important thing. And total surrender to Krishna, that's what they have reached that state. And that is the Ashlishyava Padaradam Pineshtuma, those 3 verses. So you can see the message in the Bhagavadam, message in Shikshashtagam, message in the Bhagavad Gita, they are all one and the same thing. But because it's spoken at different stages, to different people, by different personalities, it comes in different forms. That's all it is. Yeah. So. So if material desires, if you approach Krishna, Krishna will fulfill the desire first, because the desire is there. And after that, he will give you liberation at some stage when we are become free from desires. Right? But as the intelligence is not to go after desires. If it is goes away, then you become quickly get qualified for liberation. Right? So, and that is how he glorified about Krishna's hands. Right? Samarkhanam yatra nidhaya kaushika tadha belishchava jagatrayendranam yadva vihare vrajayoshidam shramam sparshena saugandhya gandhyamanita. Then comes Akrura is thinking that this is all very good. All the thoughts are, these are all good indications. You know, when some good thoughts comes inside the mind, you can take it that it is some auspicious things going to happen. Otherwise, why such auspicious thoughts are coming to him? So, Akrura more or less concluded that all these thoughts are auspicious. What's happening in me? He's thinking himself like that, right? Then he saw that Kamsa had sent me here, right? Will he think that I am his enemy's friend? Will he think about me like that? A thought came to him like that. So he's solving that in the next verse. Look at the next verse. Nam ayubhaishyat tiri buddhi machyuda kamsasya duda prahidovi vishwadrakka yo andar bahis chedasam eta dihidam kshayatrajnyam ikshati amalena chakshusha. He's saying, I have been sent by Kamsa. No doubt, I agree with that. He says, I am sent by Kamsa, right? And he knows that. He will already know that I am being sent by Kamsa. But he won't think about me that I am Kamsa's man. He won't think about me because he knows my heart. You see, this is the thing with Akrura. Akrura is a devotee. He is actually a devotee. So, devotee can never think against the Krishna. But due to circumstances, he has been put into this situation. It is only the circumstances that has made him to be like that. So, he is saying that he won't think about me like that. After all, I am his devotee. He will look after me. He will protect me. So, he is assuring himself in that way. And that he is saying, you know what he said in the next line? Ya kshetrajna chedasa andar bahishya eda nihidam abilena chakshusha ichadi. In other words, Krishna is present in everybody. Inside, outside. Inside and outside. Right? And whatever our mind is telling us from inside, he is aware of that. What's happening within our mind. He is aware of that. All the time. You will see in Bhagavatam in several places how Krishna is working with us from inside and as well as outside. Andar bahi purusha kala rupe. Who said this? Parishit. Said this. Viryani tasyagile lokabhajam. Andar bahi purusha kala rupe. Inside and outside he is there for everybody. He is inside, he is outside. So you can't hide anything from him. Everything you do outside he will know. Everything we are thinking inside also he will know. There is nothing you can keep away from him. Everything, inside and outside what we do, he knows about that. Kunti Devi also said the same thing. What did Kunti Devi say? Andar Bahir Avasthitam. Yeah. So, you can see all the devotees. Kunti Devi said, Parishit said, Akrura is also saying here. Krishna is present inside, Krishna is present outside. And as long as this is the situation, you cannot do anything without his knowledge. Without his knowledge. Is it not? So, he says, so that's what he's saying here. So, even though the fact is, Kamsa is sending me there, but Krishna is inside me, Krishna is outside me as well, but he won't think about me wrongly because he is inside me. He knows my heart. I'm not Kamsa's man. I'm Krishna's devotee. And Krishna knows that. So he won't think anything against me. Even though I'm going to see him as a representative of Kamsa. This is bhakti. That's bhakti. Right? Because he is Antaryami, it is not difficult for him to know about our inside or outside. Right? And our thoughts, our emotions, everything is known to him. Similarly, and he will know this, all our activities, what we are doing, he is a witness to everything, right? And so therefore, even though Kamsa, who is his enemy, and he is sending me there, he won't think about me as his enemy. Krishna won't think about me like that. Why? Because he is You see what he said there? Kshetrajna. He is Kshetrajna. Kshetrajna meekshati amalena chakshusha. He says there, Kshetrajna meekshati amalena antarbahishchedasam etadihidam Kshetrajna meekshati amalena chakshusha. Right? He is Kshetrajna Antaryami. And he knows all my thoughts and activities. He is Antaryami. And therefore, what does that mean? Kamsa is outside my mind. Right? Inside my mind it is Krishna. Kamsa is outside my mind. Inside my mind is Krishna. But for my survival in this world, I am working with Krishna. With Kamsa. I am working with Kamsa. That's all. But with Kamsa, I have no attachment. I have no genuine attachment to Kamsa. Right? And Kamsa has no place in my heart. Whereas with Krishna, he has a full place in my heart. I have total attachment to him. So you can see what a conflict is going through Akrura's mind. How he has analyzed his relationship with Krishna. Devotees have always these problems with Krishna. unless you come to that state of purity, our relationship will be like Akrura only, all the time. And at some time, what happened was, this good old Akrura made the mistake, isn't it? In the Samantaka story, what happened? With a one time, this is how he was thinking about Krishna. And this poor Akrura, much later, in the next part of Bhagavatam, you will see there, how could he think he was running away from Krishna? Now to get to see Krishna, he is preparing in this way. All along the way, he is thinking like this. So positive at this time. Very positively thinking before seeing Krishna. And this was the greatest event going to happen in his life. Akrura comes sending him there to see him. And how come this Akrura had such a change of heart later, when it happened with Satrajit and Shatadanya and all that? It's the same Akrura at that time also. And he was scared of Krishna and he was running away from Krishna. That is called Maya. And this mind, what we consider, you cannot trust this mind. Today it will tell you are a devotee, and tomorrow it will make you a demon also. Both this mind can do, and Maya can be very expert in doing that. And that's a lesson we have to learn from Akrura's life. So what happened was that he is saying, he's confirming himself, to himself he is saying this, I am not Kamsa's devotee. Kamsa, I am only serving him outside. He is not in my heart. I am serving Krishna, right? And Krishna is present inside me as Kshetrajna, Andaryami, right? So, therefore, even though Kamsa is sending me here to see Krishna, he won't see me as his enemy in this way. And Kamsa is outside, Krishna is inside. And so that I am like this, that Kamsa is outside, I am serving him, and I am serving Krishna inside. This is known to Krishna. Kamsa doesn't know that. This is known to Krishna. Because Krishna is Andaryami, he knows this. Whereas Kamsa does not know that. He says that, right? So, everything Krishna knows, what is inside me, right? So, my inside outside, Krishna knows well, right? And my connections with Kamsa, on what level that connection is, relationship is, also Krishna knows. He said, so, saying that, next words he says, Apyangrimule avahidam kridanjalim mamikshida sasmidam ardrayadrisha sabadhyabadhvasta samastakilbisho vodha amudam vida vishangam urjidam. He is more or less getting closer to Vrindavanam. He says to him that when I get there, I'll stand there in front of him with folded hands, right? And Krishna will look at me. And look at me with that beautiful eyes. And he may probably smile seeing me, right? And at that moment, I will become ecstatic. I'll feel all my doubts. This is all doubts in his mind, what he was experiencing till then, will leave me there at that moment. He said like that, right? So, when Krishna glances at me, he says that when that mercy comes from him, that I will become purified straight away. And I will experience such a bliss by seeing Krishna's beauty. And I will wake up. I will fall at his feet. and Krishna will see me in that state, falling down at his feet, right? And I won't be able to control myself with emotions at that time. And I can see that at that moment when I fall at his feet, all my impurities in my heart will be purified, right? And Krishna will show unbelievable compassion towards me, and that mercy will enlighten me. And right now, my asuric nature, Akrura is saying this, his asuric nature is not allowing to experience Krishna inside at this moment because of this connection with Kamsa. But the moment I see Krishna and offer my obeisances to him and he looks at me smilingly with those beautiful eyes, immediately that asuric nature will leave me and I will experience what is bliss. The Satchidananda experience, I will have it, he says. And in this way, Akrura is analyzing what's going to happen when he gets to see Krishna, right? So, what we have to understand from that is, when Kamsa is for Akrura, it is like that, right? In our own mind, if our mind is not making contact with the world outside, external objects, sense objects, right? And then you are experiencing some bliss inside, then you have to know that it is Krishna's presence inside. That's a way to understand this statement. What he is pointing at is that when your world outside is not causing any effect, impact inside the mind, right? And still you are experiencing ananda, bliss inside. When your mind is not in contact with the world outside, still if you are experiencing happiness inside, you have to take it that Krishna's presence is there in the heart. So, that is why if you are able to turn the mind towards Krishna, able to control the senses, and if that upasana continues, sometimes devotees experience a shanti inside. For a moment, for a few moments sometimes, it will come, right? And that shanti or anandam what you are experiencing is a proof of Krishna's presence inside. That is how you realize Antaryami's presence. While doing sadhana also, of course when you make progress in sadhana, as much as we advance, rarely Krishna gives some revelations to the devotee in this way. That means his mind totally withdraws from the world. The world outside goes away from inside. He's not present inside. At the same time, he experiences some happiness inside, ananda or bliss inside. At that time, you know there is Antaryami inside. It is coming from Krishna. Krishna's presence as Antaryami, that is the way you detect it. And that happens at some stage in spiritual life, even during sadhana stage. This will happen. This is all experiences of the rishis and experiences of the devotees. They have vouched this. This is the way to know existence of Antaryami. That the world outside has not gone inside. It's not there. Nothing, we don't feel any connection with the world outside. We feel totally become free from the world. Because what is world ultimately? Ultimately world is nothing but what is inside us, isn't it? Vishwam darpana drishyamana nagari. The first verse in the Dakshinamurti Stotram. This is what, world is not what you are seeing with the eyes. World is what is inside us. The impact the world has created in us, that is what the world is. World is not what you see with all the buildings and all the and other people in this world. The impact it has created inside us is the world. That's what is called world, right? So that world sometimes completely leaves us. That means all the impact of the world that's created inside us has gone. For a few moments, may not be very long, it will come back again. But once it's gone, and then suddenly you're feeling some happiness inside. Ananda means, and that's Antaryami. That's coming from Antaryami, right? So, that means not in contact with any sense objects, any sense gratification, and still happiness comes from inside. At that time, it has come from Antaryami. It has come from Antaryami. We have to accept it. We have no other way. That's a way to know that the Antaryami exists. So, Antaryami has come, and that is Krishna himself, right? And for a person who is doing sadhana, this can happen in different ways. In different ways, right? So, before we realize the truth completely, total self-realization happens, right? Partially this can happen, right? That means at different instances, as we progress in the spiritual path through sadhana, at some different stages this happens, this thing happens, right? So, and that you experience what, that is what we call a shanti. That's a word for that, shanti. Tataparam shanti mubayati saksha. Permanent shanti means total self-realization, right? So, that shanti what you experience during sadhana stage itself is considered to be the Antaryami's presence inside, right? So, there is an example given for that. Somebody is traveling to the, say for example, traveling to the sun, right? And if you take a photograph of the sun from now, you take a photo, and all along your journey at different times, you take photos of the sun, right? All that photos, what you take all along your journey, right, is the photo of a sun, no doubt about it. But it was taken at different times during your journey towards Krishna, towards the sun, right? But the final photo, what you take when you are there in sun, will be different than all the other photos what you have taken. It's the same way our sadhana also. In the progress of spiritual life, through sadhana process, as you keep on progressing, different times you will experience Krishna differently, in different ways, that shanti will come inside. Different realizations will come of Krishna inside. But as you get closer to Krishna, and when you totally realize Krishna, when you that means that is the time you get totally liberated. Right. So total realization or total experience of Krishna, when you get there, before that, you will have partial experience of Krishna at different stages in the sadhana time. These are all experiences of people who have done intensive sadhana, not our case. For us, this it may, I don't know how long we will have to wait to get to this, but great devotees say this. This is how it happens, and that is what he has said that in that verse. Yeah. Then he said that sukrtamam jnadi ananya devadam dorbhyam pradubhyam parirapsyate thamam almahi tirthi kriyate tadevame. Bandascha karmalmagam uchasityada. He's saying that Krishna knows me and he knows who I am and I'm related to him, isn't it? Because he's a Yadava and from Vasudev's side there is a relationship with Akrura and Krishna. So with those hands he will embrace me. And when he embraces me, my body also will get purified and all my bondage with karma will be finished with that. He says like this. So this is how a devotee's mind works when he is going to see Krishna, right? So I think we'll stop there today. We'll continue tomorrow. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.